conocer problemas. Good morning, chairperson.
Morning. Welcome back.
Recording in progress.
Morning, chair. How about to start the meeting now? It's 9 o'clock. Lindy, I can see that we are 32. Siakore. Wait, Tani.
There's only 4 members in yet, which is a quarter of 1/3 of the committee. And in terms of the rule, we may proceed with the committee, but not take decisions until we are 5 members. I think for in terms of listening to the presentation, we may proceed. I think other members will join later.
Have you checked them, Lindy?
No.
Abrams is in.
There is a member two. I don't know what is a member.
Member two.
Yes, oh, we are correct. We are 5. Marais also here. Yeah. Member Marais also here. Yeah.
Thank you. Okay. Thanks. Thanks a lot. Honorable members, good morning to members and to officials, our stakeholders that have joined us. Let's start our meeting by just bowing our heads and also at the same time give a sort of a moment of silence for those that have passed on. Thank you very much, honorable members. We say to Lizelle and IFP members condolences for their loss of Tata Umndwana Phindangene. And we know for a fact that we have been sending messages to her, trying to comfort them. We understand the real loss that they have encountered, but we request them to be given by God more strength and be strong as ever, so as to be able to this and also the funeral. Thank you ever so much, members. I know on behalf of all the members of the committee, we are also saying the same, that may his soul rest in peace. Members, we know that we are still on the month of the Amagugu that is the September month. It's a heritage. Unfortunately for ourselves in Cape Town, it's getting better and better in terms of the weather. Otherwise, it has been extremely cold. We also hope that other people also are enjoying the spring autumn, the spring season, which we know that at least it comes with their dynamics in terms of the flus, the diseases, yonke yonke la. So we must try our level best to be covered by people that are Christians. We believe that all is going to be abandoned at the end of the day so that we get into another season. Understanding, honorable members, that you are also tired. You are fresh from the public hearings of the provinces, which the last one was the Gauteng, and we did very well. I would like to thank everyone who participated, and also because we're not going to go all of us as the portfolio committee. It was very, very fruitful, and I've had a comment of saying that social development is always having very successful public hearings than other committees. I'm not saying other committees are not getting the full support, but with us, really, we have put our flag high. So far, so good. Thanks ever so much. And we have to be very strong, even to the last ones that are left, and finish up this bill within the term, within our term, because we are left with few months. I don't even want to count them. So today we are going to have the briefing. Lindy, can you please assist us by telling us who's in the meeting, who's not in the meeting, for people that have joined our gadget sometimes don't show the people that are present, and we are on load shedding, unfortunately. That's why I am skeptical to open up the video, but I will try my level best. Thanks, Lindy. Over to you.
Okay. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Good morning, members and the Mandela officials and stakeholders in attendance. I want to apologize for cameras unable to detect the Zoom platform to detect the camera. Chair, I wish to confirm the following members that are present in this meeting, Chair, of the 13th of September. We have you, Member Mvana, as the chairperson of this committee. We have Member Iris, we have Member Abrahams, we have Member Stock, we have Member Marais, we have Member Priet, we have Member Masango, Chair, in our midst. So those are the members that are present. I've received a couple of apologies by the leader stage chair. Chairperson? Am I audible? Is there anyone who can hear me?
We can hear you.
We can hear you.
Okay, maybe the chairperson is having a problem from his side. Just to check.
I think you can go ahead with that. Thanks, Lindy.
Maybe Shema. Sorry, members. The chairperson is just encountered a technical glitch, and she just gave me an authority to just record the apologies and also hand over from the department to confirm officials that are present. Members, I wish to record the following apologies. I received an apology from Member Sukers, who is unable to act, and also Member Pilangulu, who's attended the Salga Women's Commission, the Kotla, and also Member Ashongo, who is in Vietnam, and also the obvious one, Member Van Amerva, we are aware that he's got a bereavement. So those are the four apologies received on behalf of the committee. That's all in terms of the apologies. Member Stark, maybe can take over, and then just for the acceptance of apology, I meant to confirm the member's presence. Member just Mamganye just joined while I'm busy on the platform, members. Thank you very much. But will you, Member Talk? I think Member Stock is also experiencing some technical glitch. Maybe the department, I think
I'm,
glitch
I'm
is
here.
Over. Come on, put him.
All right. Thank you very much. A very good morning to all of you, honorable members, officials from the department. I think the chairperson has already welcomed all of us and officially opened our meeting. So we're ready to start our meeting. The normal practice in the portfolio committee, as all of us are aware, is to normally end over the meeting before we start to either the deputy minister to do some openings of the minister. We normally hand over to the deputy minister. So I'm not sure. It looks like the minister is not yet here. I'm not sure.
Yes,
the deputy minister. Oh, okay. Thank you very much, Comrade Minister. Let's hand over to the minister to take us through in terms of the opening political remarks, and then we take the meeting from there. Thank you very much. Over to you, Honorable Minister. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. My department is also here. Maybe if the DG can let us know who else is in the meeting before I start. Thank you. Through you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Minister.
Thank you, Minister, to yourself, honorable members. The portfolio is two CEOs. Agencies are here together with the Department of Social Development is represented here. We are in full swing. Both agencies, departments are here represented by those and the heads of the institutions. Thank you very much.
Chairperson,
I made a mistake,
okay.
Honorable Minister. Since the department have now introduced themselves, can we get the agenda to be cited, and then we all have an opportunity to look at it and formally adopt it. Then we will then hand over to and then it has also been circulated to all of the honorable members. I think we all had an opportunity to peruse it. So this is the agenda. Honorable members, can we get the mover and seconder? Can we get the mover for the adoption of the agenda?
I move for the adoption of the agenda. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Honorable Abrams, move for the adoption of the agenda. Can we get the seconder, honorable members? Honorable members, can you get
seconding.
The second? Okay, Honorable Manganye, seconds the adoption of the agenda. Thank you very much. The agenda for the meeting has been duly adopted. Can we now hand over to the Honorable Minister to deal with the political remarks? Over to you, Honorable Minister. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Comrade Stock and Chairperson, for the meeting for today. I would like to upfront apologize also that I will not be able to stay long in the meeting because we have cabinet. So I just requested for permission to come quickly and speak, and then I will have to go back. I do have the confidence that the Deputy Minister, the portfolio, DSD portfolio as is, are going to be able to handle the meeting through the presentation and any other issues that are raised by the members. But for today, Chairperson, I would like to greet everyone respectfully to their different portfolios here, including the acting DG, the executives of SASA and executive of NDA, and all senior officials who are present here today. Honorable Chair and members of the Portfolio Committee, thank you for the opportunity as usual. We always come here with
great expectation of making our presentations and also getting the constructive criticism or support or when members have got issues that they'd like to raise with us and maybe advise us from time to time on certain things, we are always open to that. So this morning, I not only am directing ourselves to the issues that are on the agenda, I'm also directing my attention to the issue in which more than any other that the social development mandate is responsible for. I'm honestly immersed, namely in ensuring that each grant beneficiary does not unfailingly receive her or his grant payment when she withdraws it. And I'm raising this person because I'm thinking that while we have an agenda that deals with specific issues, but there are contemporary issues that are of major concern to us and should also are of major concern to members, because some members have given me the call, some members have raised it in Parliament, and I thought it would be opportune for me to just say a few words about it. And I also requested Tepetin on this one to say, while we have all these other things that we need to report on, it would be prudent for SASSA to just brief the portfolio committee members on what exactly we have been doing and what are the plans in order for us to address the challenges that we have been facing. And again, Chairperson, and upfront, I would like to say to fellow South Africans that grant beneficiaries and grant beneficiary dependent, lets me express my profound apologies for the inconveniences and uneasiness that grant beneficiaries have been experiencing in not receiving their grant withdrawals. My apologies are premised in particular on the understanding that for the majority of grant beneficiaries and their dependents, the social grant is the only form of income upon which their livelihood is founded. And therefore, as a caring government, and therefore as a department in its portfolio, we try and we strive to make sure that we avoid stress and strain when people have to be going and coming back and they don't even have the money. You know, that's why I'm saying we profoundly apologize for that, and we're doing the best we can to resolve the issue. And we must also upfront say that it is as a result, and very unfortunately, post-bank and retailer paid grant beneficiaries have been experiencing failed withdrawals. And further, these have been informed that they had insufficient funds in their account. This is notwithstanding that SASSA had timelessly and reliably paid the due grant amount against each and every one of the affected grant beneficiaries. And therefore, I'd like to inform all South Africans and interested stakeholders, in particular this portfolio committee, that neither the Minister of Social Development nor any other person has the powers to stop the payment of social grants to those who certify the qualifying criteria. The recurring for the fourth time in the last 12 months, the phenomenon we are witnessing is actually a technical glitch in the grant withdrawal. And I think SASSA can be able to explain what that glitch is. We've had to be explaining what a glitch is and what a glitch means and what happens in the back room of the technical side of processing. Sometimes it's not as easy as we might think it is, because there are many other technical things that need to be dealt with. This can variably be traced to the time when SAPO and subsequently the Postbank adopted the new switch. Prior to the implementation of the new switch, grant beneficiaries experienced neither withdrawal failures nor funds missed deductions from their accounts. So needless to mention, these technical glitches are threatening the lives and livelihood of our people and undermining the relationship of trust in our communities. And we're working very hard to make sure that the trust we continue to build with our communities and the confidence that we always try to exercise in ensuring that we get the relevant departments or the relevant institutions to assist us. It is with this acute understanding of the practicalities of this matter that the department and I have been in a resolution creation discussion both within and outside government. We had a meeting with the Minister of Communications and Digital Technologies, and I've instructed our department to develop a joint integrated plan which practically will give the confidence and so that our beneficiaries do not go into any form of panic. And Honorable Chair, I reiterate my gratitude to the Portfolio Committee overall, the honorable members as well as non-profit organizations that continue to co-create solutions with us. Your unrelenting support, guidance and cooperation will benefit us in moving forward. I know that the CEO of SASSA at some point, and that of course Chairperson will depend on how you want it to be fitted in. And I said to them, it's important that we take advantage of this opportunity, even though the agenda is not for this. But when you consider gravity of the challenges and the impact, not even the gravity, the impact of this problem to grant beneficiaries, I'm hoping that you can be able to answer deeper, we can ask deeper questions to the team of SASSA here. And as I indicated earlier, Chairperson, I will not be able to hang around because I've got to return back to cabinet, which is taking place right now in 10 days. With your permission, please allow me now to hand over to you, Chairperson, to the Acting Director General and the CEOs of SASSA and NDA for them to continue rendering today's meeting in accordance to the agenda. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Minister, for your political remarks. It's quite clear where we are, and I think you also highlighted the number of challenges that we are facing and how you are actually anticipating with your team to be able to deal with those challenges moving forward. And what comes out of your political remark as well is the fact that you are also acknowledging the problems, not shying away from them, and also committing yourself to be able to deal with those challenges as we move forward. We really appreciate you for your leadership and your dedication of always being available to do the work. And then we also appreciate the fact that it's cabinet, but you also made time, Honorable Minister, to come and be part of the Portfolio Committee. Thank you very much for that, Honorable Minister. Let's hand over now, Honorable Members, to the departmental officials, the Acting DG, Mr. Lintele Mqunu, and your team to be able to take us through in terms of the presentation. So whilst we are presenting, we'll have three presentations done to us, presented, and then Honorable Members will then take note of some issues that they want to raise. Towards the end of the presentations, we'll then open up the floor for honorable members to come in and also make their contributions, comments, clarity seeking questions, and all of that. Thank you very much. Let me hand over to the Acting DG. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, and good morning to all members once again. And thank you for the opportunity. I've just requested the Secretariat to please share the, please allow Fani yesterday to share the screen. Thank you, Minister, for the remarks that you provided. What we will do, Honorable Chair, is go straight into the presentation. My request, Honorable Chair, is that we please start with the DSD, and then we'll do the NDA, and then we'll close off with trust, including the matters that Minister has also spoke to through yourself, Chair. So we'll do the DSD one, and the NDA one, and then the other one will end. So, Chair, presenting the 2021-22 audit findings and the action plan for the financial year. We'll talk to the actual outcome and talk a little bit about that. We'll talk to the breakdown of the audit findings. We'll talk to the progress on resolving the audit findings 2021-22 financial year, and we'll close off. I'm still seeing the presentation on the screen, and I'm hoping that the Secretary can help us with that.
Through you, Chair, LinkedIn, you're a co-host on both of your gadgets. You can be able to screen. Is there anyone you've nominated to share the presentation? so that I can just give the co-host who
requested that you ask Fanny to Fanny Esther Hayes.
Fanny,
so he's
okay.
Able to, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Made him a co-host, he can continue to
thank you. Okay, so let's go to slide number number 3. Okay, let's put it on full screen, Fanny. Number 3. Okay, I've spoken to just the breakdown. Let's go to the next slide. Okay, so let me talk a little bit about this slide very quickly. We would see that in 21-22, we had actually regressed from the unqualified finding with no findings in 3 orders in the previous financial year 2021. And there are a number of reasons for this. Primarily, the main reasons were because of the grants payment. You would know that because we provide the money to SASA, that gets recorded in our books as well. So the reason why we regressed and were unqualified with findings was because of the SASA grant payments in the main and essentially within the grant space that we received the unqualified audits with those findings. And I'll speak a little bit more to the findings when I get to the next slide. I just found the areas that are raised as concerns here are actually areas that have been addressed quite effectively moving forward. If you look at the 2020, the next, no, go back one back. If you look at the next financial year, you'll see an unqualified audit with no findings and also a significant amount of improvement in terms of the risk areas that the AG has pointed out. The one that is still worrying us quite a bit is the supply chain management, and we are trying to resolve that issue. The financial health issue, I just want to remind honorable members that there was an issue around the financial health, and that's related to essentially the payment of the grants, the SRD 350 grant, for the next financial year. And we had paid in that financial year ahead of the next financial year because there was no budget process in place. And this is a matter that the Treasury is responsible to resolving on their side. So we've done everything that we needed to do on our side and provided all the information accordingly. And then, of course, the reason why you have a challenge there with the quality of submission in terms of performance information, it was essentially our disagreement that we had with the AG around the number of children in ECDs. It was one aspect. But because of its material nature, it is huge. We essentially had some discrepancies, or the AG had discrepancies with what was in the APP and the samples that they managed to pull out. And we tried to explain this quite drastically, quite extensively rather to the AG. So we didn't find each other on that issue, but this is a matter that has since been resolved. And then some of the other issues essentially relate to the supply chain environment, as I indicated, the ICT environment, the HR environment, which has since been resolved, etc. But this is essentially what we're showing you. I must just let's go to the next slide. This slide essentially just indicates that we had received, next slide, we had received 51 audit findings, a number of them were at, most of them were in the supply chain environment, as well as at SASA, at HR, at strategy, and so on. So we've since closed all but 2. Of these findings, and the ones that deal with SASA, I will not get into the detail of them. SASA will speak to it a little bit later, but Sani will also talk to it. So from the 51, 43 have been resolved and closed. There are 8 that are work in progress. 6 of those are at SASA, specifically on the SRD 350, and 2 of those are in our environment. The 2 that are in our environment, I can talk to also very quickly. It's non-compliance related matters, and the one is in the supply chain management environment where the AG indicated possibilities of fraud after they've tested the data, it related to the acquisition of tablets, laptops, TV screens, couches, office blinds and cutlery. We have, of course, received a report. We immediately instituted a forensic investigation because of the material irregularity that was attached to this. And then we have just received the reports about 2 or 3 weeks ago, which we are now studying from the forensic investigators. And of course, we will then be able to act in taking those recommendations forward within the next few days on that. So this is a matter that is still pending, given the fact that we had to employ the services of a forensic investigator who has since done this work. And as I indicated, we just got the report about 2 weeks ago, which we are now calling through. Relates to the international internal audit standards. You are supposed to, I think every 5 years, have an assessment that is done by an independent and qualified assessor outside of the organization as required by the international internal audit standards 1312. And this, we had challenges with this in terms of processing this timelessly, but there were some challenges that we've since are working on. I think we're in the process of appointing the panel of auditors, which will assist us in making sure that this is done. This is a finding that essentially goes across a number of institutions because it's a very tiny finding, but it relates to non-compliance. And we are obliged in terms of the international standards to make sure that we do this work. Those are the only two findings that the DSD, which are a work in progress, everything else has since been closed accordingly. And we've dealt with all the issues. If you could just go one slide back. I wish we could show you what was 22-23 looking like. It would give a different picture. Essentially, it will give a very different picture, and it will highlight some of the interventions that we've taken, and you'll see that we would have received an unqualified finding, orders with no findings, actually, and which is essentially a clean audit. Now, you must understand, Honorable Chair, that we're dealing with the largest budget here in government. We look after just north of 265 billion rand. And to receive a clean audit with that kind of money is no joke. It's a huge responsibility that we have to look after. And it's really not a simple thing. Even the findings that we received here in 21-22 financial year are matters that we've since put to bed. Safe, I think, for one, but we're starting to find ourselves with the AG. And I can just outline those before I ask Fanny to take us to the next slide. One of the key issues was that the AG wanted us to do a market price index, and we've since done that to address the issue of exorbitant prices on products that we may pay. This is a standard process that we utilize, and we've had to update that accordingly in terms of the commodities that we source. We've developed standard operating procedures within the supply chain environment, and these are reviewed regularly so that we're able to address some of the challenges that have been picked up at the AG. There are very few repeat findings, and those are findings that we're able to address, like the ones that I just spoke to now around the international internal audit standards. We've strengthened, of course, our internal control quality checks at different points within the sourcing and payment processes. We've trained officials on the centralized database. We've also trained officials on fraud awareness. We have a program underway in the department, which is around, it's a reorientation program, essentially talking to reestablishing the rules and reminding colleagues around the do's and don'ts around ethical related matters within the organization. And this is not just for supply chain only, but it's for the entire organization. We've also trained colleagues on fraud awareness, as I indicated. A significant number of officials within the finance branch also completed the compulsory ethics program, training program with the National School of Government. And this is to provide a level of consciousness around what can and cannot be done, should and should not be done. And this has obviously become compulsory to all staff members now. And I must say that we have a significant amount of funding. We've given ourselves, I think, until the end of April, end of March next year, to have the entire organization undertaking the National School of Government, irrespective of whether they're senior managers or below. And so far, I can tell you we've had a significant amount of people going through this piece of work. We've really reduced irregular fruitless and wasteful expenditure in the past 3 years. And I would say that we've also issued a number of letters. We've disciplined a few people. We've clawed back a lot of money that was taken through fruitless expenditure, etc., and other related matters through the loss control committee. So we've really put measures in place to try and address this challenge. If you look at the picture now, it's a significant advancement from what we had in 2021-2022. You would see that we've actually turned the corner in most instances, and I think that that's a significant piece of work that we've done with the team. We've also enhanced the due diligence mechanisms within this high finance environment, and as I indicated, that forensic investigation has since concluded its work in terms of supply chain management, and we are performing the findings and will take action accordingly. We strengthened also our audit steering committee, which I think is useful, and we brought on board members from the audit committee on an ad hoc basis to come in and assist us with some of the challenges we face there. So we moved a great deal on some of these things. There are also frequent engagements with the assurance providers, the internal assurance providers, and of course external assurance providers. I won't go into the rest of the detail. I'll ask Fanny to get into that very quickly, but essentially I want to point out that a significant amount of work has been done. If you look at 3 years before 21-22, you see some of the challenges that came, and what you see now is unqualified audit opinions, clean audit opinions, I think that is not a small thing to think about. It's a huge portfolio that we're managing, and having achieved such significant audit findings is certainly something that we are proud of together with the leadership team. Of course, this is not it. There's still more that can be done. We want to see everything clean here. Yeah, we don't want to see any yellows and any reds at all. And I can tell you now that if you look at the previous audit findings, you'll not see that. You'll see a very reduction of some of the challenges that we faced before, because we have put in measures in place and everybody is beginning to understand and implement those measures that we put in place. So we can go to the next, not the next slide, but the following slide, Fanny, and let me allow you to then proceed with the balance of the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Acting DG. I see the chairperson is Honorable Nonkosi Mbana is back in the meeting. Chairperson, may I hand over the meeting back to you? Thank you.
Thank you, my whip. I'm sorry for what has happened. I've got a new gadget. Then I seemingly pressed the button and it went off. Thank you ever so much. Then we had the acting DG. And I had Honorable Stokes saying that let's note all what we would like to engage on, but let's continue with the presentation. Who is the next one? DJ?
Fanny will come in now, Chairperson.
Okay.
Fanny.
Good morning.
Yes.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. I am going to run quickly through the 43 findings that was resolved very quickly, and I want to stand still in terms of the 8 findings. So essentially, in terms of the ones that we received of the 51, and there was 22, as we indicated, related to supply chain. But of those, we have resolved already 18, or resolved 18 in the financial year in terms of the audit findings, which mostly relate to non-compliance, some of the files that is missing, some of the information, the unreasonable prices that was charged for some of these things. And some of these things that's been resolved form part of the MI that the AG has raised and that we did investigation on in terms of this. So very quickly, we can look at the issues that we were also addressing as part of the MI that was part of the findings. There we see the training of SEM officials, the submission of SEM reports, the late submission to the National Treasury, the successful awards not published in the e-tender portal, and then employees doing business with the state. But these things have been resolved as part of that. Then also some of the local content, internal control deficiencies that has been addressed. The bid specifications not complied, reviewed by bid specifications committee. The incomplete contract registers, Chairperson, our contract management unit is currently very undercapacitated. We have addressed this as part of the progress that we ensure that all our contracts that we currently issue are being managed, and we ensure that we have ample time to, when contracts expire, that we put some things in place to, for them to be redone. Then also the amount paid to a supplier more than the approved quote. There were some issues that the sourcing of the quotations didn't match the invoices. Our own assets policy says that we must do twice a year in terms of the asset verification. That has also been resolved. Then the others relate to the inquiry that was done in terms of the forensic investigation. Then in terms of MIST, there was three issues that was resolved. Again, the inadequate implementation of security management processes. Every year the AG does the samples on all our transversal systems, our batch logos in parcel, and there is supposed to be adequate security management processes in place, but this raises the findings that we have resolved that. So the adequate firewall policy and firewall management processes, also the IT governance, the approved ICT asset management procedure would not contain the return of department to ICT assets. Then on findings on the finance area, the section 16 allocation incorrectly classified as payables. There's something in the section 16, the member received additional allocation for the extension of the 350. It was just a matter of how that we put it in our financial statements. We had a discrepancy between us and the AG, but we have resolved that with the National Treasury's assistance, and that was resolved. Waste management processes are not according to legislation and policy. Again, there was a discrepancy between how we manage our debt policy, but that was resolved. Issue on transfers to NPOs made a period after 13 days. So when we do the assessment of our NPOs, the contract has been signed. Issue is there that we were supposed to pay the NPOs within 30 days of the contract, but we've also resolved that. Then also the last one is payment process after 30 days period exceeding. That is the 30 days requirements, but we've also given the AG information on that one. On HR, there was issues on the contingent assets, disclosures, the strike action, employee costs, critical positions vacant for more than 12 months, number of key management personnel disclosure did not include personnel appointed in active positions, there was differences in the SMS reported figure, leave days not reported in the system, and leave days not reported in the system as GBB and CC. Internal control. The issue there was on the unauthorized area of fruits and wasteful expenditure does not agree with the AFS, but we have resolved this with the AG, just in terms of the numbers that we were put in the register versus the annual financial statements. On strategy, DG mentioned this one in terms of the ECD children. The samples on ECD for the TID targets. I'm not going to go through all of it, but essentially we've ensured that all these issues have been resolved with the AG, also talking about the indicators, not specific and measurable in terms of program four indicators. We've since adjusted our APP for 3.3.4 to ensure that these things are corrected. Then this are the other ones that the CFO and CEO of SASA will talk more about. These are the six findings that was unresolved, that was carried over to the next financial year. So the first one was related to the SRD, and it's on the databases that was used for the payment of the SRD. There's a verification process with Home Affairs, with GEPF, NEFSAS, and PASOL. Once we generate the payment for the 350, the AG came and then did the same assessment on these, but they did a different date. Now, obviously, these information will then differ. And it's something that we're still busy with the AG to resolve in terms of the timing, because we want them to use the same information when we did the payment of the 350 by using a different timing period. And obviously then there will be differences, but this will be resolved, and the CFO Sasa will talk more about what is the process to follow. The second one on the 350 is in terms of exceptions of invalid IDs. We found in the database that people were still using old IDs, so therefore they had two different IDs, and then they applied with both the IDs, and this is something that we are correcting in terms of this. The new progress is able to resolve the challenges related to double dipping due to the payment of both old and new IDs. And this is something that we must sort out with Home Affairs to ensure that this is done. Then on the computer-assisted audit techniques, in terms of the grants, items for investigation identified. According to the test done, it appears that beneficiaries omitted or made misrepresentations when applying for the grant in order to meet the qualifying requirements. So what SASA and us have done is to write letters to the different government departments to solicit their support as part of the efforts to review the affected beneficiaries. And in addition, all beneficiaries identified by AGSA were sent personal letters to request them to come forward and review their grants. All beneficiaries that have failed to come forward have been suspended on the system in line with provisions of the regulations of the Act. And the affected clients have until the end month of February 2023 come and review the filing of their grants and will currently lapse. So again, the CFO also will talk to this. Units has been done, has been met, and I'm sure that they have also lapsed the dancing processes. Then the one on the KZN, overpayment to beneficiary without approval, that's in KZN. That's a verification of transactions guideline was signed and sent to regions in 2019. Delegations for large amounts were signed and circulated in the memo reminding regions to non-compliance with the standards we sent out for regions already in this year, 2018, January. Then on the debtors, Chairperson, this is currently a very big headache for us in terms of the debtors, but again, CFS also will talk to this. It's all about the reconstruction of the files in the KZN that was destroyed in the fire. The total amount of the debt value was 567 million. Of the 39,000 files, 14,000 files were written off, so the value of the files 253. And we've got that in approval in Treasury in the last financial year that we've written off Social Assistance debtors to the value of 538 million. Then by 2018, the reconstruction of almost 7,000 were completed. Value there is 42 million, 18,000 still active, to the value of 272 million was finished to be reconstructed. And the reconstruction of the files will be, the finalization of this project will only be in March 2024. The grant application process, applicants' information not validated due to lack of automated interface. The system did not validate the various marital status of an applicant against the Home Affairs. As a result, the system would not identify applicants that are married and thereby affecting the means test calculation. So again, time is now lapsed in terms of this. The CFO will give us some more progress, whether this has been resolved with Department of Home Affairs. On the SCM for our national, this is what we have the material irregularity for. The AG sampled few files in terms of the sourcing of quotations. Then they found six sourcing files where there was issues on non-compliance. There was public prices just not market related. There was discrepancies between the specifications approved and what was ordered, also between the orders and the invoices. And as DG indicated, that the forensic investigation was instituted in last year, October, November. They've now given us a final draft report, which still needs to be considered first by the Exco of the department before we take this thing forward and we institute the necessary consequence to the educated officials. The very last on the internal audit, the non-compliance with the standards. External quality assurance review assessment of the internal audit function was not conducted within the past 5 years by qualified independent assessor or assessment team outside from the organization. We've now ensured that the tender to appoint the panel of auditors has been advertised, responses have been received and reviewed, the submission to appoint an IT director is still with the accounting officer. Teammate has been procured. This is what they use in terms of the audit to do their specific work. And installed, all projects will be done with Teammate, and then the draft combined assurance framework has been finalized. So this will be resolved by March. Chairperson, and then very lastly, we want the portfolio committee to recommend that you take note of the progress we've made as an organization to address the 21-22 AG findings, and also the ones that's been unresolved, that's been incorporated in the 22-23 audit or action plan. We'll give progress in terms of the unresolved ones, which also includes the MI in the next committee. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Chair, thanks.
We'll
take your guidance, whether, Chair, you would want us to respond to these issues in terms of the DSD report, or you'd like us to then take the NDA and SASA one, but we're in your hands in terms of how you suggest we do it. So from DSD side, Chair, that's the last slide. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you very much, I think, TJ. Who is supposed to follow?
NDA is supposed to follow Chairperson, and then SASA at the end. But they're in your hands, Chair, if you would like us to discuss this.
Okay.
Thank
you. Maybe let's deal with this one, ne? Whip? Honorable Stock?
Thank you, Chairperson.
Yes.
Yes, no, my hand is not up.
Okay, I wanted to ask from you that you wanted us to deal with all the reports, like even SASA, or you wanted us to deal with this one and then interact with it and then follow it.
Chairperson?
Okay, does someone wants to come in there, Chairperson?
No, please. Yes, thank you very much, Chairperson. My understanding is that you are the chairperson, so I don't know why you must consult with your with the work from your party. You are the chairperson and you must give us guidance.
Have to consult because Honorable Stock was the one who was chairing and he gave some sort of an advice in terms of, that is why I'm asking. I don't want to go back and reverse the meeting that Honorable, I had a glitch. So I had to give over to him. Then I wanted to know what have you agreed upon as members of the committee, not asking as such. Thanks.
Okay. No, thank you very much, Chairperson, for the clarity. Earlier on, when I was chairing the meeting in your absence, and then I made a proposal to the meeting that maybe let's look at taking all the presentation. But I know in terms of the agenda that we have actually adopted, it's one item, individual items like that. So I don't have a problem. What we can do now, Chairperson, to avoid a lot of issues, let's take items by item. Like now, let's take the department one, deal with the questions, clarity from the department, and then we follow in that order. The next entity, NDA, SASA, in that order. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Thanks.
Okay, thank you very much, Honorable. Let's follow those that we have agreed upon because we we adopted it. Over to you, Honorable Members, in terms of the one of the plan of the auditor. I see the hand of Leticia and I see the hand of Honorable Alex so far, and then others will follow if they want to. Over to you, Honorable Aris.
Yeah, good morning. Thank you very much, Chairperson. The indication of the presentation shows that result, but without a more detailed report, how can this committee be sure that it is a true reflection on the audit findings, that it is truly resolved? I want to respond on this thing of SASA. They are first-time applicants for the 350 rand SOD grant. When they apply, the system indicates that they are already beneficiaries and therefore already receive the SOD grants. And this is the type of corruption that is going on in SASA. And how will this corruption stop? And what measures do you have in place to ensure that the recipients of these SOD grants are indeed... We want to know what monitoring and evaluation measures you have in place. And how will you stop this ghost SRD accounts, these ghost children, these ghost bank accounts, and all these ghost things that is going on within the SASA system? And we have seen during this week and even an advert for support of maintenance on the SRD grant system. In the past 5 years, how many updates did we get on this SASA system? Because I can recall recently there was also an update about a couple of millions was spent on this system. And as there's no improvement on this effective distribution, and that resulted there's still no effective improvement on this distribution of grants. And we have seen during this past 2 weeks and even up till today that there are still people that have not received the social grants. And I mean, it is not nice to see how our people being humiliated and suffer because of not receiving the grant, because this is for many of these social grant beneficiaries their only source of income. It is clear that SASA do not have the capacity to administrate and successfully distribute the grants. And the other thing that I also would like to comment is we did have an oversight visit with that time when there was unrest in KZN. And we have visited some of these SASA offices. But what I have seen where there was places that was burned, I can recall that in one of those SASA offices, there was just the garage where the cars was burned. But then in other offices, there was break-ins. So then they were saying to us that the files were stolen. So I just want to get an indication now that I see that the Treasury has condoned money for files that has been burned. So I want to know where this files was and in which offices they were, and they must please provide us with more details on these offices where these files was burned. Thank you, Jay.
Thank you, Honorable Aris. but you must remember that we are still going to go to SASSA. I know for a fact that we are asking from the Auditor General's plan from the department now.
That's right.
Thank you. The next one, Honorable Abraham.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you to the department for the first question. I'm assuming that when the Mr. Esterhazen spoke about market price index and that the department has to develop one of those, it's related to suppliers obviously grossly inflating the prices on the items as we see across government lines. So I mean, the question I'd like to then ask, there must be some repeat offenders who are doing this, and also when it comes to those suppliers who are involved in the fraud matters, you know, have those suppliers been red flagged? Do we have a little black book with those suppliers, and have those details been shared with the other social with the entities and with the provincial departments of social development as well as treasury, so that, you know, we can alert other government departments of these suppliers who, you know, have been involved in fraud or are grossly inflating their prices. Then the second question, some of the interventions seem pretty, you know, stock standard matters that have been resolved, especially when it comes to the supply chain management directorate. And it, for me, it then raises the question about, you know, the qualifications and the experience of the people that are being employed in that department. So I just would like, you know, yes, they're getting training now, but, you know, some of those mistakes look like they shouldn't even have happened in the first place. And it brings me to my next question. Well, the actual question, you know, what is the department doing about repeat offenders, officials who are repeatedly, making these mistakes in supply chain management? On the MPOs, MPOs are always, on the worst receiving end when it comes to late payments, part payments, not being paid at all. So I just like to find out what is the department's intervention there to make sure that this actually stops happening, because it seems that it happens all the time, and there's no actual plan to actually, we're going to pay them on time. So just some information on that. And then second last question, SOCPIN and validating of the married persons. Is this isolated incident? Is it a percentage of persons, or is it actually applied to all applicants who are married and they haven't been validated as such? Or is it just specifically to a grant type, or is it across the board? And then the files that were burnt and in the KZN fires and the riots, and you know, the value of the debt that was written off, how did you determine which debtors would be written off, and then which debtors you are still going to be reconstructing files with? So, you know, just some understanding about how they were chosen, which suppliers were chosen to be written off. And then lastly, yes, it's resolved. I just want to get clarity. It's resolved on your side, the findings, but have those been accepted by the AG? So are they happy that these matters have been resolved to their standard? Thank you, Chairperson.
Honorable Bridget, and followed by Honorable Paul Nitz.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, colleagues and the department and entities.
Thank you for the presentation this morning. I just have a question of timeline, if I may call it that, because 8 of the 14 items that have been presented this morning are work in progress. Some of them have timelines that date back to years like the 2019s and things like that. I just want to know, when the item is the work in progress, are there any timelines or deadlines by which each of these items must have been closed? Because it just gives a sense that it can just go on and on and on. And maybe one, if one could understand the background that leads to these items being in progress up to now. I'm just concerned that we might have a work in progress for a long time. I'm just worried about that. And Chairperson, I want to the one slide that I sort of picked up that I would like to substantiate my question with is the one that speaks to the overpayment to a beneficiary without approval. I see that there is a memo reminding regions on compliance and so on and so forth. What does this reminder speak to? Does it speak to a situation where the verification of transaction is not done, or what is this effort of sending a reminder responding to? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Masango. Over to you, Honorable Volnit.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I also would like to discuss this thing of the verifying of married women. I'm worried because, as you can see, all the public hearings we went to is that a lot of people ask the question, because I'm getting a pension, my wife cannot get a pension to deal with that thing, because they're seeking here of verifying married women. Because if you look at it, the one gentleman said in the Eastern Cape, I paid my pension. I married a younger woman. Now because my younger woman is a teacher, I cannot get a pension. I think we must also discuss this thing. And then also, Chair, the worrying part that I'm having is that buying of chairs and tables, is it because you did not spend your budget and then you opt to buy computers and all these things? This is also that I'm a concern that I would like to raise. Chair, the last part that I want to raise is that while the department knew that post office is having a financial crisis, they were liquidated, they were sequestrated, they did all these things, they still went ahead and signed a contract with post office. Now our people are suffering because of this. So today, some of the people in the Eastern Cape have not received their pensions from Eastern Cape. Even the fingerprinting machine is not working in the post office. Our people have been running the whole week up and down, even went to the police station to make fingerprints. So I want us to address this thing of the post office, because we warned you, we said, post office, we went for a workshop in Johannesburg. We discussed this thing because post office was there, but still post office went ahead. Now the cards are not working. They said they will give us till the end of the year to let the cards work. But now the cards are not working. People are struggling to get their money. Till today, they didn't receive their money. What is going to happen with this thing? I know this is not part of the discussion now, but because we are discussing this thing, that monies that were not spent, monies that did not do what it was supposed to do. So I just need us to discuss this thing. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Polnit. I'm happy that you have recognized that it's not the time for the questions of FASA now, but SASSA is taking note of them and is going to answer them. Over to you, Honorable Manganyi.
Thank you very much, Chair. Greeting to all my colleagues and all the officials. I know that this is not for SASSA question, but it derives from the Auditor General when Fani spoke about it. I wanted to know how efficient is the internal audit? Because if the internal audit is not efficient, things won't go right. I want to know how is this audit, internal audit being strengthened? Because if it's strengthened, it will bear an audit that that is clean or that is unqualified. But I was just checking how long did they train this internal audit, because sometimes you stay long in the department and then you don't do anything, or is the department that doesn't utilize this internal audit? The other one that I was concerned about is this, that Fani raised the asset recorded in incorrect amount. How come? You know that question of how come? Is somebody just sitting and not doing his or her work, or what caused it, the cause of that incorrect recording amount? That one is the one that lead us to this fraudulent, because if we are able to record something in a wrong amount, it will cause problem definitely. Lastly, Chair, debt management process not according with legislation and policy. I want to know if those people who are dealing with this thing don't understand the policy that they have to follow, because in each and every government or department, we've got the legislation and the policy. So I want to know why, how it happened. I'm still not here. I'm just asking, how does it happen, or that somebody who's using, who's doing that, doesn't understand how they should work with this according to this legislation? And I want to say to the department chair, I must not lament only. I appreciated that the minister, the FASA CEO, when we call being angry because of what is taking place on the ground, we don't care whether it's FASA, whether it's the social development, we just call whoever that will answer the phone by that. So I appreciated that they know that sometimes when we are calling, we are provoked by what we are seeing on the ground. The other one of SASSA, I will talk to it when I'm there. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Honorable Stock.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Let me also greet, join my colleagues to appreciate the presentation and greet my colleagues and all departmental officials. First and foremost, Honorable Chairperson, I think I just need to welcome the political remarks which were made by the Honorable Minister earlier on when we started with our meeting. And the reason also why I want to take the moment or an opportunity to acknowledge that political input by the Minister is the fact that in the input of the Minister acknowledged all the challenges which were actually faced by us in the entire social development portfolio, which is the department and also its entire entities. And then also, by so doing, she also acknowledged some of the challenges that we as members of parliament, members of different portfolios coming from different political parties are actually facing on a daily basis when we are actually doing the work, servicing our people in our different constituencies, which ranges from, the different programs the department is doing. It could be SASA programs, it could be also the National Development Agency programs. And then also, you know what actually touched my heart, to be quite honest, with all the issues that I had for the department and its entities, is the fact that the minister did not shy away from the challenges that we're facing. And then she also went to the extent of apologizing to the people of South Africa, taking responsibility for what has actually occurred with regard to the SASA grant debacle, the challenges that we experienced and all of that. And then she also went to a large extent to outline a clear plan of action and also the way forward in terms of how the department and its entities, including SASA specifically, they are going to deal with the issue of trying to deal with the challenges and also to ensure that this thing does not occur in the future. And Honorable Chairperson, I also want to from the onset make a disclaimer to say I'm also one of the guilty parties when it comes to, you know, this thing of blaming it on the department. Every time we meet with the department, then we are presented, we get a presentation, then we are told, no, the system glitches and all of that, the system glitches and all of that. So I'm also one of the guilty parties, and I also want to agree and make the disclaimer from the onset. But until such time that we, because the minister also raised it in her input, that the system glitches that the department SASA is actually encountering, these are actually not just normal glitches that we can regard as normal glitches. It's actually beyond the control of a technical glitch or a system control and all of that. So when we'll be dealing later on with the presentation of SASA, I'm quite aware that we are not yet at SASA, but it's a department, so I'm just reflecting broadly on what the minister actually touched on as part of a political input. So I want to appreciate everything what the minister has said, and I've actually drawn a sense of some comfort from the words of the minister. You know, I had a lot of issues before I came to the meeting, but out of what the minister has actually shared with us as part of a political input, I've actually drawn some comfort from the issues that the minister has actually raised. Now, Honorable Chairperson, with regard specifically with regard to the department, with regards to its audit findings from the AG and all of that, I've actually noted that the audit outcome suggests, which has actually been given by the AG to the Department of Social Development, that what it suggests to us as members of the social development portfolio is that we must actually look at also an approach as a social development portfolio to strengthen our oversight role in closing the gaps in matters which have been noted by the AG since we started as the sixth parliament. Like, for an example, why I'm actually raising that issue is because if you look at the presentation, some of the issues are actually recurring. And then the department comes to us and then they say, no, this is in progress. But the issue that we as members of parliament are supposed to be able to deal with is that the department must also be commended for the work that they are doing, but they must also be able to tell us in the trying to correct the situation and implement the action plan to deal with the issues raised by the AG. They also need to share to us or update us as the portfolio committee what are the challenges that they are actually facing to implement the corrective measures. And then also, what is the departmental plan to ensure that the findings of the AG are not repeated in the future? And then we also avoid this thing of every time we get a presentation, we are told, this is in progress. So it will be good if the department can come up with a clear plan to say, this is how we are dealing with the issues, and then this is how we are actually trying to avoid a situation where these issues are going to be repeating themselves in the near future. Thank you very much. That's my contribution, Honorable Chairperson. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Honorable Stock. You have partly covered me in terms of saying issue in progress. They speak like as if they are politicians, when we are just stuck with answering some of other things. So with these ones, I don't think we really agree on it. And with all those ones that haven't been resolved, Honorable Stock has covered me by saying the repetitive findings. It's not accepted, especially in looking at the time that we are left with. Maybe what he said in terms of strengthening the oversight is just the real thing that we must do. How, I don't know. But Honorable Manganyi has also asked a question that is saying, do we have a very, very strong internal auditor so that by the time the external auditor is done, at least things are better off than this? We have only get all what has been reported is that it has been resolved, it has been resolved, resolved, resolved. But you ask yourself, it has been resolved with the AG, ne? But with us as the portfolio committee, excuse me, I'm foolish. With us as the portfolio committee, as other members are saying, that we need to be informed of those things before or prior this thing of the audit happened. It is really embarrassing us to see that there are still repetitive findings and we are unable to get through on them. I don't want to get out of that. In fact, I don't want to get in the questions that other honorable members have been asked, but let's maybe allow the department to give us some answers on all what has been raised. And then those that are for SASSA, let's wait for the SASSA to present and also answer the questions, because they have been taking notes on what has been asked by honorable members. Over to you.
No, thank you very much, Chair. I am. Let me just try and respond to a few issues that were raised, and then I'll ask Fanny to come in. I think maybe let me get Fanny to go first, and then I'll come afterwards. Fanny, just on the issues that were raised with us.
We must attend so that when you follow and summarize.
Sure. Okay, all right. Money.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable DP. So just in some of the questions that was raised, related to supply chain on market-related pricing, you know, so as DG said in his opening remarks, we've conducted a thorough investigation on the commodities that we currently being utilized by this department, and then we did the research on what is market-related pricing for this. So whenever we now get a requirement to source commodities, we benchmark against this market pricing. This is some of the interventions we utilize to ensure that whenever we source quotations for certain services, it's against this benchmark market pricing, that we do not except to get quotations that's more than the market pricing. So that's been done, and it's part of the procurement process. All these things, in terms of the repeat offenders and suppliers being flagged, this will be done once we get the final report with our forensic investigation, and then we can identify the offenders in terms of this, whether it be people from the department or people from the service providers, and all these things will then be ensured that the necessary consequence will be taken in terms of this. The beauty about this report is that they've already done the investigation, they've already made certain decisions in terms of this, so we just need to institute the correct consequence in terms of this. In terms of the service providers, if they are found wanting in terms of this, we will surely go to the National Treasury and flag them as part of the CSD, that these are serious service providers who tries to rip off the state in terms of this. So that we will be doing. In terms of the qualifications, Chairperson, all the officials in finance have the necessary qualifications in terms of their specific position, which is part of their performance agreement or their work plans in terms of this. What is lacking currently is the new developments that comes into play, that we need to ensure that these people are trained and some of them reskilled for their specific areas, but also looking at the new things that are in the open market to ensure that these things didn't occur again. In terms of the NPOs, you must remember that we're only dealing with about 33 NPOs nationally. So the one that's been flagged was one or two where there's a time delay in terms of the payment after the contract was signed. But this has been dealt with now. We ensure that we already start with a contract, contracting in terms of these things. It goes to legal services. So once the legal services has verified the vetting in terms of the contract, and immediately after that, the payment gets processed through the system. So that's been dealt with. The unresolved, the AG is, they are they happy? Chairperson, the AG is part of our audit steer com, and as DGO said, we are sitting now regularly. We give them weekly updates of our internal audit action plan. We give them what was the root causes, the preventative controls, but also the progress. So when we have this weekly audit steer comes, that's why we hear their voice, we hear what is their recommendations in terms of this. And then once all the findings has been resolved, it goes through the necessary processes by internal audit and go to the DG for signature, and then we submit to the AGSA in terms of this. Yeah. We also then, it's part of the normal standing committee, standing item on the audit committee, where we also discuss this. They also give us some input in terms of this, so I'm sure that the AG is happy in terms of what we've given them for our 51 findings. So time frames, the one that's unresolved, here we give them the time frame for the one that findings, the two findings that we currently have for BSD has already been resolved, but the SASA matters, the SAS, the six ones, the due date there is March 2024, so therefore we put an end date in terms of this. Chair, let me stop there. I think the DG will communicate with all the rest of you in terms of responses. Thank you very much.
Well, thanks, Fanny. Let me just maybe say four things, maybe three, let's see. Firstly, I want to indicate that our understanding is that the AG is okay with the fact that we've dealt with all the findings and the manner in which we've presented here, because as Fanny said, they are part of the audit committee and they attend and indeed they engage even within that context. So our understanding is that there's no issues in that regard. The repeat findings are minimal, and those repeat findings are dealt with accordingly. We are able to flag out those repeat findings, and then the colleagues who are engaged in the repeat findings are able to engage with them in terms of the letter of the law. And then just to indicate that on the non-payment of NPOs, yes, there is challenges of late payment, but the challenges are not one-sided. Quite often we think that they are one-sided, but they are not necessarily one-sided. Let me say two things here. One, there are serious issues of compliance that we have to adhere to. If we give NPOs funding that are non-compliant, the AG will then fine on us. So we've got to make sure that we give support to NGOs which are compliant. And unfortunately, especially in the city of Tshwane and in the city of Johannesburg, I think it is, and one or two other municipalities, the challenge is that the bylaws keep changing. If the bylaws change, it means that the environmental certificates and other related certificates have got to comply. In most instances, we've realized that a lot of the NPOs are not compliant, and therefore you're not able to provide them with the necessary funding. But these are challenges that we're trying to troubleshoot. Our view is that we must provide support to NPOs to enable them to comply, so that we're able to provide them with the funding. We are trying to troubleshoot with the issue in Gauteng. around the non-payments of NPOs by engaging with them, and I know the minister has also had a conversation with the MEC around that. And I think those issues are being resolved. There are conversations that are happening between the NPOs themselves and the Provincial Department of Social Development around the funding aspects. Our view is that NPOs should indeed be provided with the support and the funding, and we must assist them to ensure that they comply accordingly and then provide the funding to them. On the issue of, I want Brenda to come in on the issue pertaining to married women and the verification there too. When it comes to the payments or the application for social grants. Brenda, if you can quickly talk to that, and then I will close off on the last issue. I'll close off on one issue. Brenda, you want to talk to that issue quickly? And then I will come back in.
Sure, DG. Good morning, Chairperson, members of the Portfolio Committee, and colleagues from the whole portfolio. On the question of the means test, let me indicate members that the social assistance rules or regulations specify different means tests for different types of grants. So the old age grant, we require the income of both the applicant and their spouse, if they are married, to be checked. We have means test thresholds for them. Remember, all of the grants are intended to deal with poverty, to provide income support for people who are unable to support themselves. So the means tests are a way of targeting the poor people, and anyone who therefore has access to income from other sources would be excluded in terms of those rules. So for example, the child support grant also, we look at the income of the parents, both them, both parents. So and then the income levels are changing every year as the value of the grant itself also changes. So each year we have different thresholds for the income, and with respect to the old age grant, we also check the value of assets of the people that are applying for the grant. And this is why, for example, a person who is married and has a spouse who is working and earns above that means test threshold would therefore not be able to qualify for the grant. If we were to pay, I mean, we have tried for several years actually to get the grant to only test the individual applicant's income, but we have not been able to win that battle, primarily because it would increase the cost of providing the grant, because if you only take one income, then the other person who might be married would also qualify if you only look at their own income and not the income of the spouse. Therefore, the numbers of beneficiaries would increase, then requiring a bigger budget. We've had several occasions where we've discussed this and raised it and tried to propose that the means test only focus on the individual, but this has not been supported because of the financial implications. So until that happens, we continue to test the income of both parties, of spouses, whenever they apply for the old age grant, and we also test the income of both parents when they apply for the disability for the disability grant. We test income of both spouses when they apply for the child support grant. This is the rules that we currently have in place. That is why some people might be excluded. Thanks, Chip. And we are quite happy actually to provide today. I think it would be good to actually share the latest means test information. We can supply this to all the members of the portfolio committee through the secretariat, so it's clear what the means test thresholds are, because they increase every year. Thanks.
Thanks, Brenda. Honorable Chair, the one thing, there was a question around red flags and flyers. Whether we share this information. Yes, we do share it. We also engage with the Treasury to get guidance on how we move in terms of those suppliers that we have found to be problematic. But as I said, that's a matter that the Treasury has to take forward and deal with within that context. There is an assumption that is made that it's the SASSA system that is failing. It's the SASSA system that is being maintained or upgraded. And the fact that a contract was being signed with the post office. I just want to correct and bring some clarity on some of the issues here. Firstly, it's not the system that it was updated or maintained. When we do maintenance or upgrades in our system, we inform members of the public. We also indicate that if there are going to be challenges, this is what would need to happen, etc. In this particular case, system that gave challenges was the post bank system. And I think the statements that have been put out, they verify this information. The contract is not signed with Postbank, it's received with Postbank. With Post Office, it's signed with Postbank. And that's where the current contract lies. We're working on the basis of that contract at the moment, and we're revising a few aspects related to the contract. On the issue of the cards, we met with the DGs and the CEOs. We met with the DGs, and as we speak, at 2 o'clock today, I'm meeting and the Post Bank as well as the DG of Communications to again try and deal with some of these issues. We've been assured that the card issue is a matter that is being resolved as we speak, and we're just awaiting some of the details on paper. But I want to expressly indicate that the challenges have been on the Post Bank side. We've been meeting literally daily to try and resolve these issues. I personally have been convening meetings with the Post Bank, with the Post Office, the Department of Communications, and as indicated, we're meeting later today. And I must also indicate around the switch issue, which the colleagues will talk to later. Those are the big challenges. We've learned, though, that there are one or two other technical challenges which they are troubleshooting on. Like, for example, there being no money at the post offices, the post office running out of money, and a few other challenges. But we are troubleshooting on these things, and we will provide absolute clarity on the measures that have been put in place in this regard. So, Chair, let me leave it at that, at the expense of going into too much detail around the issue pertaining to the grants, because we'll talk to that a little bit later. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Acting DG. Can we get the next presentation?
Chair, you didn't recognize my hand. Yes.
Is it?
Maybe, yes.
I'm sorry for that. Let's first give you a chance.
Thank you.
Before we move to another.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I wanted to say to the acting DGs to say what he was saying just now. It's what we want to hear when they clarify. They mustn't just say resolve, because there are issues that are of public interest. Also, as the committee, that we have interest on it, that we wanted, when we clarify it, we must clarified a little bit in broader, so that even the public must understand that this issue, we are trying to clarify it, like the one that he was just clarifying now of the glitches or whatever. We need, there are things that you can say resolve. Thank you very much, Chair, and thank you.
Okay, the next presentation. Thank you,
Matthew. Thank you very much, Chair. And thank you for the input. We'll definitely go into a bit of detail shortly. Honourable Chair, let me ask the NDA to present very quickly, and their presentation is pretty short as well. If we could ask then the acting CEO of NDA and the CFO.
Thank you, DG. Good morning, Chairperson Vanna. Good morning, Honourable Members. Good morning, ADG. And good morning, colleagues. My name is Rekele Zeng Lorenza Bulusa. I am the acting CEO of the NDA. Our presentation today, Chair, will cover the 2021-22 audit outcomes, but more importantly, it will cover the findings and how we have dealt. Our presentation, Chairperson, will be led by our Chief Audit Executive, Ms. Hajra Mansour. She is internal, and she's been tracking how we are treating these. And with your permission, Chairperson, I request that she's given. Thank you very much. Hajra, over to you through your chair.
Thank you very much. Good morning to the Honourable Chair, the members of the Portfolio Committee, the ADG, and the colleagues from DFD NDA. NDA and SASSA. I'm not sure if Mr. Morula can help me to just share the presentation, please. But I'm not able to share it from my side.
You are a co-host, isn't it?
Okay, so can I share it now? Okay. So if we can go to the NDA findings, I would first like to appraise the committee in terms of the trends of the AG findings for the last 3 years. In the 2019-20 audit from the AG, NDA were presented with 38 findings. In the 2020-21,
can you hear me now?
Expand the screen, Hajra. Just make it bigger. If you can put it on slide mode, yes. Thanks.
Okay.
Is it much better, Chair?
Yes, that's okay. Thank you.
Okay, so I would just like to appraise the committee in terms of the AG findings for the last 3 years for NDA. In the 2019-20 financial year, NDA were presented with 38 findings. In the 2020-21 financial year, NDA had 16 findings. And in the year in question, 21-22, there were 13 audit findings. And obviously, in all these years, it was an unqualified audit opinion from the AG. So if we look at it, NDA has regressed in terms of, has actually progressed and received fewer findings as the years went along. And in this current financial year, we actually had clean audits and with no material findings. So for the 21-22 financial year, we had an unqualified opinion with findings, and the audit of the financial statements were fairly presented in all material aspects. The audit of the performance report, annual performance report, the program 2, which is a civil society organization development, was the program that was selected by the AG auditors, and they looked at it in terms of the performance information that is properly presented and consistent with approved documents. The indicators and related targets are measurable and relevant, and the reliability of the performance information is valid, accurate, and complete. In respect of the performance information, the AG did not identify any material findings on the usefulness and reliability of the reported performance information for Program 2. Then if we can go to the summary of the 2021-22 audit findings, there were 13 findings in total. 12 were material findings, and there was one finding that was administrative in nature. Out of the 12, 3 related to finance and 1 related to supply chain. The admin finding related to the audit and risk committee, and it was a governance issue. If I can take you to
Chairperson, if I can just interrupt.
Hello.
Chairperson, if I can just interrupt to ask if they can please make it in presentation mode, so to make the slides a bit bigger on the screen. Thank you. Thank you.
It goes back. When you have to present, it goes back. And then when you blow it, it's okay. But
is
I
it
don't
okay
know
without
it.
Chair?
It's okay. It's better.
Okay, so in terms of the 2 findings were on the non-submission of mandatory documents by the winning bidder. This related to the supply chain area in NDA. This had been resolved. The audit action plan that was put together was that the tender for the office space was cancelled and re-advertised. So this was actually resolved from the NDA side. The next one was in terms of the functionality criteria miscalculations. So it was the incorrect evaluation sheet was included in the file, an incorrect addition of scores by the evaluation for the Northwest office space that was awarded. Again, this was resolved by management. The next finding was a member serving on two BID committees. So the NDA's SEM policy provides that a member of the BSC or the BEC committee may not be a member of the BAC. For the tender concluded during the year, the SEM manager was a member of both the BID specification committee and the BID adjudication committee, and this was in contravention of the policy. So the policy was actually revised to indicate that the BEC member cannot form part of the BAC and cannot be a BAC member. So this policy was revised and approved on the 31st of January 2023. There were two findings in terms of the RFQs for PPE masks that did not specify a condition that 100% local content is mandatory. This also was resolved during the financial year. Then in terms of the finding number 7, the COVID-19 transactions not reported to National Treasury. So the SEM actually amended their control checklist to include reporting for local content transactions, and this was in terms of the SEM instruction note 11 of 2020-21 on the COVID disaster procurement and reporting. The next finding, finding 8, was in terms of SEM control deficiencies, where minor differences between management's evaluation scores and auditor's recalculation on the number of bids due to incorrect calculation aggregations. However, even though there was this deficiency, the award was not invalid, it wasn't an incorrect or invalid award that took place. The next finding was in terms of expense for the UIF stipend recognized in the current year. So an amount of 28,000 for UIF stipends due to the 2020-21 financial year was recognized when paid in 21-22 financial statements. The next finding was in terms of the difference in the 2020-21 disclosure notes. It was a disclosure of trade and payables under the risk management note was understated in error. Finding 11 was the stock count sheets, where information from the asset counts are recorded in notebooks and then transferred into Excel worksheets, which are used as official count sheets, and no controls were detected to be in place to prevent unauthorized changes to the notebook, because this being a manual process. However, in terms of NDA resolving this issue, a Business Central solution was introduced where barcodes were scanned and automatically updated into a system. The triple BEE non-compliance in reporting. NDA did not submit the triple BEE 1 form to the BEE Commission together with the AFS and annual report. So the 2021-22 verification outcome was submitted with a copy of the AFS and annual report by 30th September 2022. The last finding, which was of administrative matter, it was in terms of the audit committee not appropriately constituted, and there were two independent members who are non-executive. The terms of reference of the audit and risk committee were not reviewed annually. The audit and risk committee has not met with the executive authority, and there was no evidence that the audit and risk committee has reviewed and approved the combined assurance plan or ensured its implementation. The audit committee, this finding had been resolved in terms of the terms of reference, and also for the two for the audit committee to be properly reconstituted. The purpose of this presentation is for the portfolio committee to take note of the progress made by the NDA to resolve all the material findings raised by the AG in the 2021-22 financial year. Thank you, Chair. That's the end of my presentation for NDA.
Thank you. Questions from the honorable members? Honorable Alex.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for the presentation. I've just got one question slightly unrelated to the actual presentation, and that's just to find out how is the NDA's implementation of their turnaround strategy going, because we've been talking about this turnaround strategy for a few years now. So I'd just like to find out, where are they in the process? Thank you.
Any other hand? Honorable members? Okay, over to you, NDA.
Thank you, Chairperson. The turnaround strategy was only approved by the board of the NDA, the new board, in July. We are in the process of developing a five-year plan through which we will implement the strategy. And we are also going to go on a roadshow to socialize the strategy and to publicize the strategy, including to this committee. We will be coming to you to do that. So it is and has been approved by the board, and it will be implemented from the new financial year coming next year, Chairperson. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions from the members? Seemingly there are none. Let's go to the next presentation.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, honorable members. Chair, for us to be able to manage time, I would request that the CFO goes into the presentation on the BRRR, and then I will then talk to the current challenges that we are having with regards to the card, with regards to the payment, so that we can then take questions on both and be able to manage this efficiently. Thank you very much, Chair. CFO.
Yes, thank you, CEO. If I could just ask for the right, my name is Takeriwa Chauke. I will be presenting for SASA. If I can ask just to get the right. And good morning to Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. I will just try to load the presentation once I've received the right. I may also ask Chairperson, for the sake of my network, if I could just switch off my camera, if you allow, so that I could be able to make the presentation.
Yes, you are allowed.
Sophie, are you able to help me? So while I'm getting the right Chairperson, in the interest of time, maybe I could just in the meantime make some few remarks on terms of what the honourable members will need to take note of. In SASA, receiving the unqualified audit opinion in the year.
You can call. I've made your call. Sorry, CFO. You can fly the presentation.
Okay. Thank you very much. Okay, are you able to see my screen?
Yes, we are able to see it, but it must move. Must move, yes.
It is moving now, I guess, Chairperson.
Yes.
Thank you very much. I think the slide, Chair, is what I wanted to preface the presentation for the consumption of the honorable members. If you see the SASA configuration, Honorable Chair, it's made of head office with 9 regions, with about 46 districts, just under 400 local offices. So the configuration of SASA depicts that transactions within SASA are processed at different levels, with the head office consolidating and playing an oversight role in that regard. So the transactions in terms of our approach in dealing with the audit finding within SASPA, because we're not situated in one building, we spread across the country. The approach by management, as when we considered the audit action plan to resolve the issues that have been raised by the Auditor General, the one part that we have looked into was to look in terms of human capacity. In the human capacity, we looked at the two fronts, and one was the warm bodies. In the 22-23, in response of 21-22, we did what we call the reprioritization of posts. And that process did take the better part of the 22-23 in response to close the gaps that were identified by the Auditor General, looking largely on the service delivery, which was the local offices, to try and close the gaps in terms of value chain. The second part, we looked in terms of the capacity within supply chain management, because bulk of the audits happened within that front. We also looked at the issues relating to the segregation of duties, where we find that probably there were inadequate internal controls. We also looked in terms of the risk management area, which was the area that we were not capacitated that much, and also look at the audit, internal audit capacity, looking at the capacity of the internal audit, which strengthened the testing of controls. The second part, we looked in terms of what we call the skills within a particular areas which are risk. And in this instance, we looked at the training on key areas, which I will touch with based on when I do the presentation. Then the second area that we looked into in our approach was to look at the policies, procedures, focusing largely on SDM. This led us to review the SDM policy for SASA and also the standard operating procedures, which was implemented first April 2022. And we also did a lot of training around the policy and procedures. The third area that we looked into was the asset management, I think, which I'll speak to as in when I get into the details, which has affected probably the whole organization in terms of the assets. Because the AG was to test not only the availability of the assets, but they also test the location. So if you say a particular chair is in this particular environment, you should not be moving it. So with SASA dealing with a lot of clients and others, the movement of furniture or assets becomes more prevalent in that space. We also looked at the systems. I think the audits for 21-22 depicted just the risks within the SASA systems, which is what we will be dealing with when I make a presentation. And the last one was the issue of the performance information, which has to do with reporting consolidation and also dealing with the technical indicators. So if you look at this presentation that we are presenting, which is the high level, which is supported by a detailed report that is separate to this chairperson. So if you look within the corporate services, you had about four findings that were there. And the four findings, one was in the Limpopo province, where we did not conclude the disciplinary processes in the Limpopo province, and that was since finalized. The second thing that we dealt with it in that environment was the issue of the matter which was raised in the Eastern Cape, which had to do with the extended sick leave. So an official who got an extended sick leave, and therefore that was not accounted for, and that matter was resolved. We were able to recover the 9 days that the person has utilized and without the prior approval. The third element happened in Gauteng, which had to do with the issue of an official that was appointed, were alleged to have been appointed without the inherent requirements, meeting fully the inherent requirements. And a disciplinary process was undertaken, and this said officer who has since relieved of the duties. The fourth element related to the KZN in terms of the corporate services for the fourth that were finalized, which has to do with the shared services, because in other areas, such as shared office accommodation with either the provincial department or either may share with other departments. And therefore, there was no MOU. So we managed to finalize the MOU and also be able to account for the expenditure that was incurred in that instance. The second branch that you see here, which we have dealt with it, which is finance. The finance part is that we had a number of issues that were dealt with, and the bulk of them related to asset management, which were undertaken a full verification of the assets during the year 2022-23, and were left with only very few assets that were not accounted, which were just under 30. And of those assets, we have investigated only very few that are outstanding, which have to do with the issue of the asset disposal, because then we are able to account for all the assets. The second area that affected us within that is the issue of consequence management, which we call the disciplinary processes relating to the incurrence of the fruitless and wasteful expenditure, the regular expenditure, which I would want to deal with it when we continue on that area. The third element that has happened within the finance branch had to do with the area of accounting for the leases, which is the leases that we occupied without a due contract, which is these leases have expired. I will deal with them, and when I deal with the issues of work in progress. The other area that is material, which we have to really deal with it, was the issue of revenue management, which is what the acting CFO for DSTS spoke about, which has to do with the KZN project, which I will also deal with it, and well, this is slide that I deal with it. So within the ICT environment, the rest of the other issues were the risk relating to the system controls. And the system controls that we dealt with, which were corrected, had to do with the weak passwords, the strength of the passwords, the history in terms of the log for the passwords. It also have to do with the age analysis of the passwords. So these matters have been since resolved, and we have enhanced the system. And there was issues relating to the cyber, the risk of cyber security, which has to do with the assessment of the cyber security, which the assessment has since been done. There was an issue of the external vulnerability assessment, where you need to assess how vulnerable is the SASA systems, which was not performed. We have since done that assessment, but also did take out all the other elements that are not functional or that are no longer working. There was an issue relating to the training on cybersecurity. We have since trained the people that are relevant in terms of the cybersecurity. There was the issue of the threat intelligence program, which they said, AG said that there's a lack of threat intelligence program. And we have since made sure that we register with the Mandian Threat Intelligence Platform. And there was also an issue relating to the lack of third-party security assessment. And we have done the development of a document that deals with the third-party risk management framework, which has to do with the security assessment. So that is what we have dealt with. Within the internal audit, there were only about one thing that was raised by the Auditor General, and that has to do with the capacity in terms of the warm bodies within the internal audit unit. We have since appointed the General Manager for internal audit, but recently we also appointed the Senior Manager that deals with the ICT audit. At the senior level, we have strengthened that role. Within the the business strategy and business development. There were just a few issues that were there that related to the performance information. And we're still to resolve it, except for one which I will deal with, which has to do with the BBB certificate submitted to the commission. In terms of the office of the CEO, there were two matters relating to corrective disciplinary processes which were being handled at the office of the CEO, and both those have since been resolved. At the end of the year, 22-23, only one was resolved, and subsequently, up to date, all they have been resolved. So of all the 83 commitments that were made in terms of the audit action plan, 73 were finalized and only 10 were work in progress. And the work, the 10, I prefer to deal with them on in detail in the following slide. This I've already said that this is the outcome of it. So these are the areas that Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, that deals with SASRA's work in progress. You will see that 5 of them have to do with cases that have not been resolved at the particular point, which is at end of July 2023. And this affected the following areas. You had the Free State that still had cases that have not been finalized. We had 11 in Gauteng. We have only one case in head office. And we do have the other remaining regions, which is Northern Cape and Northwest. I think there's a slide that deals in detail in terms of this, which I prefer to deal with it at that particular point. Then we also have the one relating to the contractual penalties, which is the dispute or the administration of penalties on the post-bank contract. And we also have the debtors, which is the bank files. I had the honorable members asking where is this bank file. So the files were banned in the bridge city in Bamashu, where we kept the data files from, and I'll deal with that when I deal with the slide. There was also the issue of the limitation of system generated reports, which is to do with the Active Directory, which we will be able to deal with it. So this only indicates the 10 in that environment. So let me quickly deal with this area, and Honorable Chair. Let me start with the 5 areas relating to the consequence management. Honorable members will remember that SASRA comes from the background where in the year 2017, 2018, 2019, 2020, 2021, we had a number of cases of misconduct or alleged misconduct that we needed to deal with, which affected the 3 areas: the regular expenditure, fruitless and wasteful expenditure, damages and losses. We have since made a very progressive measures with regard to the area in irregular expenditure. We targeted that we'll be able to resolve 95% of the backlog cases. I can report that first, we have been able to conclude the majority of the cases and had 565 million of irregular expenditure condoned by National Treasury. Treasury will not condone irregular expenditure unless there is a proof that disciplinary processes were finalized accordingly, that there were no losses that were incurred by the organization, that there was a value for money in relation to the procurement, because the regular expenditure reflects that you may procure goods and services without following a due process, but you did receive the goods and you did receive the services. However, the process in which you have used to acquire those goods and services was not in terms of the prescription. Secondly, what we have seen is that 23 million has since been condoned during the year 23-24. And then we're remaining with 173 cases. And only out of the 173, only 37 cases are still under investigation and are at the different stages of disciplinary process, which we believe that we should conclude them before the end of this financial year. Except for cases, few cases that are could be affected by the court process because there are parallel court processes in some of these. SASSA has worked so much and continuously with the prevention of the irregular expenditure, especially on the expat list. And why the expat list has been a problem, I think the Auditor General has reported to the committee about the challenge on leases. The SASSA policy requires that all property acquisition must be done through the Department of Public Works if we are acquiring through the market. So the policy prevents SASSA from approaching the market directly. So when we want to procure office accommodation, we need to go through the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure. Only in exceptional circumstances, we request the minister to intervene and grant us permission for SASSA to test the market on its own, which was the issue why we delayed in resolving the issues of expired leases. Because the first time, we requested the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure to provide us with alternative accommodation as per the policy. When we saw that this is not yielding results, we went to request and plead with the minister to give us a discretion for a limited time only for the few properties that we're struggling with. And the minister has since granted us that approval. And we're able to resolve of the 22 properties that were incurring irregular expenditure. Now we were left with only 5. And we believe that in no time, during the third quarter, we'll be able to conclude on the processes of resolving irregular expenditure relating to expired leases because of that disbursement that they have agreed. We also had some sort of challenges with the resolving of fruitless and wasteful expenditure. And the main issue was that most of the cases are actually before the court. So until the court hears the matter, we will not be able to finalize the classification and resolve it from the books of SASSA. So we are proposing
Will you please mute your gadget? You are disturbing the meeting. Can you phone them between an budget?
Chabu, can you mute your device? Chabu Kumalo. It's distracting the meeting. Can you mute your device?
Yes, please assist me.
Sorry about that, Chair.
Thank you very much, DG.
Carry on,
Honorable Chair. Yeah, so we did inquire the issue of delays in some of the cases because of the complexity of the cases and the extensiveness of the investigation that needs to be done. In other instances, we have to really request Treasury to assist us with the investigation on some of the complex matters that we needed to deal with. So this is the slide that I spoke about, Chair. You could see that the cases that we are still dealing with is 173 cases, and amounting to 403 million. You will note that in head office, we have the highest value of irregular expenditure, which is 293. One case in head office amounting to 281 million is the disciplinary process is currently happening. If we resolve that, we should be able to reduce the whole irregular expenditure to just less than 120 million. So this is the number of cases. So this slide, Chair, it does give you a breakdown of the 173 cases. Where are we with the 173 cases? So I've indicated that you do have the cases that are currently with Treasury. Of the 173 cases, you do have the 16 cases that are currently with National Treasury. So they are considering those cases for now amounting to 3 million. You also have the cases that currently we are done with the disciplinary corrective measures. We are consolidating a submission to National Treasury for consideration. That is 85 cases amounting to 78 million. So before the end of this month, we should be able to submit that for Treasury to consider for condonement. There are also cases where Treasury has not condoned. And on those cases, based on the framework, there are two ways to deal with those cases. The one part you will have to resubmit if ever there are issues Treasury has raised that probably you did not satisfy their requirement. So you'll have to do a resubmission for reconsideration. Where you have submitted all the information and there could have been an issue of error from Treasury or they could have not looked some of the details, you can make a representation for the accounting authority to consider and remove such, and the AG will come and review the cases that you have removed from the register and the cases that you have submitted to Treasury for condonation, and that amounts to 35 cases amounting to 12 million. The remaining cases where the disciplinary process has not been finalized or the investigation has not been concluded, there are about 37 cases amounting to 310. We believe that we should be able to conclude this before the end of this financial year. We have been working tirelessly to resolve this so that by the time we present the annual financial statement for the year 2023-24, this should not be part of the problem that we are presenting to the committee. On the issues relating to grant administration, which is work in progress, the issues relating to grant administration has to do and are linked to the current process that is taking place, which is the process of renegotiating or reviewing the master service agreement between SASSA and Postbank, because from the 1st of October 2022, the contract is no longer between SASSA and Post Office, it's between SASSA and Postbank. By the time we see SAPO sees the contract to Postbank, we're already embarked in a process of reviewing of the MSA and the SLA together with the fee structure. But when Postbank took over, we have to reset that process because now we're dealing with a different partner. And at this particular point, we are at an advanced stage of the negotiation of the fee. But it may be important that I place before the committee that yes, it is not an easy matter because of the numbers that are required to be serviced at the cash pay point and the numbers to be serviced at over-the-counter services. These two platforms are the most expensive platforms in rendering the services. Grants are currently being paid through a bank account. But SASSA has gone further just to provide and source a service provider to provide what's called a mobile or an infrastructure access for the people that want to draw cash. Already all the clients should be having their money through the bank account because those that would have given us their bank accounts will have paid into their bank accounts. And those that don't have their bank accounts will have opened the bank account through Postbank and will pay the money or will deposit the money into that. But because most of the other communities, they don't have infrastructure, we have contracted the Postbank to make sure that there is an infrastructure for people that may want to draw cash, which is already in their car. So this process, we believe that it will only be concluded during the third quarter. Why is this? We're also having a parallel engagement with Treasury just to understand on the affordability, because it's becoming more expensive to service the limited numbers. So currently the people that are being paid over the counter together with traditional cash pay points is just under 300,000. But the cost of servicing that portfolio is quite significant, and that's why we are looking at modalities in concluding that. Linked to that is also the negotiation of the dignity services, which honorable members will complain from time to time about the dignity services that are provided for at the cash pay point or sub outlets or in over-the-counter services. So that we can conclude that. Then there was an issue relating to the KZN bank file, which was been asked by the honorable members. In 2021, we had a significant number of files that were with KZN. Well, KZN is number one region in terms of the value of data and the number of data that are handled in the organization, followed by the Eastern Cape. So we had over 500 million worth of debt book, and it made about just about 39,000 of data that were in KZN. And when the files were banned during the uprising in KwaMashu, as I've already indicated, we started the process of reconstructing those files. But in 2021-22, we have already submitted a submission to DSD, Social Development, and to National Treasury of all the data where we have tried to trace, we tried to recover, and we could not. And some of the data were diseased, some of the data were considered as an undue achieve. In other words, that is not in the best interest of the state to recover from that particular person because of the personal circumstances. There was also a category of debtors where it becomes uneconomical to recover. Looking at institution and legal process towards that person, it may not be in the best interest of the state because you may be spending more than what you hope to recover. So those are the files that Treasury considered. So Treasury did not consider the writing off of the debt book based on the bank file. They considered based on the submission of the effort that was made by the agency and supported by DSD to consider the write-off. So when we got the write-off, we did implement the write-off. So that is about 253 million. That's what was written off because we could not recover from that. Not because of the bank file, but because that we have done everything possible in terms of the policy to recover, but we could not recover. Of the remaining balance, which is about 18,000, we have already reconstructed just under 7,000, amounting to 38 million. And we have done another parallel process that now going forward, as part of the risk mitigation, you start to scan the data file. The COFEX is a scanning solution that allows us to keep an electronic record. So instead of keeping only the physical file, we'll also keep an electronic copy to mitigate against a similar event if ever it was to happen. We believe that we'll be able to conclude with the file reconstruction by the end of this financial year. The main reason why the process has become very slow is that tracing people within a village or in villages, it is not an easy way because most of the villages may not have proper street names, you may not also be able to know who stays where, and the addresses are problematic. But also some of the people that stay in an informal settlement, finding a person within the informal settlement, it is quite very difficult and tedious. So even if you were to write, you do not have the person's email address, you do not have a person's postal address. So finding the person physically becomes a very tedious process, and hence it becomes very slow to conclude the project. So what we will do is that we have appointed some of the debt collectors. About 4 companies in KZN have been appointed just to assist in the recovery. During that process, that they will be also recovering on the mandates that we have already given them, we'll be able to get some of them to sign the AODs. But signing all the OADs might not be practical. In terms of the ICT, there were 2 issues that remain, Honorable Chair, in terms of the ICT, relating to the Active Directory and the solution that has been done. So because we do need an assistance of a service provider, we have subsequently managed to be able to get a service provider, and we had the meeting with the service provider appointed, and on the 27th of June, we did give them the requirements. The solution has been looked into, and the deployment of that solution, it will be done by the end of this month, which is the 30th of September. Then the second issue has to do with the HTTPS, which has to do with the deployment of the Java to the web station, that be able to deal with the issues of the access in relation to our directory and also within the internet. And we believe that also this will be resolved by the end of this month. We have done the work that we have resolved, the SNMP string, and we have been able to disable any version that is no longer relevant at this particular point. So the deployment of the solution, and also to be able to have the Java console configuration changes, was not be able to be done, but it will be done by the 30th of September. On the issue that was reported, which also NDA touched on, which has to do with the compliance with the BBB status of SASA, we were faced with a number of challenges. The first challenge is that we estimated that this process would be at the quotation level. And when we went to request the quotations came above the threshold for quotation, and therefore we have to restart the procurement process. We only managed to conclude this procurement in this financial year. We will be able to submit it to 23. So this will no longer be an audit period for the year 2023-2024. Chair, just before I allow the CEO to do the wrap up on this, I can just quickly touch base on the issues that the acting CFOs we can touch on. On the issues of the 350, which is the queries that relates to the 350, I can confirm that we have been engaging with the AG on the material irregularity. That the AG has given us further guidance and also further deliverables that they're expecting from us. We're cooperating with them up until the end of October, when they will give us another review whether the mitigations and the measures that were put in place are adequate to resolve the finding. We believe that when the AG comes and during the 23-24 audit, we will have been able to resolve the issues relating to the 350. One of the issues that they are agreeing to is the use of the databases, because currently the database that we use to process the grants for 350, it's not the same database that the AG utilizes to audit us. So we are not reading from the same handbook. So we're drawing data at different intervals, and hence the outcome becomes different. But the AG has since agreed that they'll relook at this and the process leading to the payment of the grant. Let me thank you, Honorable Chairperson, for giving me this opportunity. Over to the CEO.
Thank you very much, Chair, through you, and thanks, EFO, for completing the issues that we needed to speak to with regards to the BRRR. Chair, the Minister had suggested in her political speech that we should talk to the issues that relate to the current challenge that has come up as a result of the failures on the post-bank side. I'm going to ask Lindy if you can enable Branton to go to that presentation. We'll try and ensure that we deal with it quickly so that we can give the members an opportunity to ask questions. But I thought in terms of context, Lindy, whilst you give Branton a rise, it's very important for us to clarify that in terms of the customers that we have, the beneficiaries, as the members always say, we need to call them is that all our clients are paid into bank accounts. So all customers have bank accounts. Of the customers that we have, there are those that get paid in their own selected accounts and those that get paid in Postbank. All the payments were successfully executed on their respective...
Chairperson?
Hello?
I'm sorry to disturb the CEO. There's a lot of echo. I don't know it's because of the speaker that she's speaking from. Thanks.
Okay. It could have to do with my connection, if it continues, I'll just ask Branton to continue with the presentation. But I just thought it was important for context to indicate that the 6 million clients that get paid in other in their bank accounts that have been paid, the ones that we had challenges with were the 5.1 million who are getting paid in Postbank. My network is unstable, Branton. Can you please just continue and present the rest of the presentation since you've got a right? I'll leave it at that, Chair, for now, and ask Branton to continue the rest of the presentation there. Branton?
Thank you. Good afternoon. Yes. Good morning, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members, Minister and CEO's colleagues. Basically, I'll just take over from where the CEO left off. And I think she was just re-emphasizing the point that, and the CFO also mentioned this, that SASSA basically pays everybody, all clients, into a bank account. We work with over 21 different banks in the country. And even clients, when they withdraw from a staff or branch, or a cash pay point, it's basically withdrawing from their bank account. So the money does sit in the bank account. Even the SAPO card, the Postbank cards are fully, they're like any normal bank card. You don't need to draw the cash from them. You can use them to transact by paying with the card at various merchants as well. If there are merchants with capabilities within the region that you are in. And then also just then Postbank is, unfortunately, when this crisis happened, Postbank is the largest bank that has the largest portion of our clients, which is approximately 40% of our normal social grant clients. That drops to about 30% if one also factors in the SRD clients. There we go. So this presentation, going in the wrong direction. My apologies, Chairperson. So on Tuesday last week, when we made the first tranche of payments for the old age grant beneficiaries, Postbank experienced challenges on their switch. They've implemented a new switch in August. They did test it at scale as well, but unfortunately there were some failures on the switch on Tuesday, which resulted in many transactions at ATMs and retailers not going through. But the bigger problem beyond the failures, because failures is normal within the bank system, I think every one of us would have experienced either at an ATM or at a merchant where you put your card in and you transact and something goes wrong between the communication devices. But what normally happens is, so for example, you might pay for something at the till, and on your side you see the transaction goes through, but on the merchant side you don't see the transaction going through. What normally happens, that transaction, the money goes off your account, but then it's automatically reversed within a few minutes. Now what happened out of Australia, that happened on Tuesday, were not automatically reversed. So the person would have transacted either at an ATM to draw money. The money went off the account, but it wasn't then automatically reversed when the transaction failed. And that left people then in a panic state, because now it looked like their money was gone, because they had no money in the account, and when they tried to withdraw again, it showed insufficient funds. And that was the core sort of problem with what happened around the process on Tuesday and Wednesday, when the reversals weren't processed automatically, and Postbank immediately then had to go into a process of manually processing these failed transactions, which took a bit of time. They also have managed to fix most of the glitches on their system. So when we've made payments on Thursday for the child support grant beneficiaries, which is the largest portion of our client base in terms of numbers, we didn't necessarily pick up that many or any failed transactions within that space. And by then they have put the auto reversals in place. So if there were failed transactions, it would have auto reversed and the person would just be able to withdraw again a few minutes later. But unfortunately, when one does have this huge amount, I think it was just over 500 that's been reported now, 500,000 transfers, this does then take quite a bit of time to clean up or to fix, especially when you're doing it manually. The bank has come back to us to confirm that they have managed to reverse the bulk of these cases that failed transactions, and they have recredited those accounts with the money. But in any manual process, there's still going to be a few that they may have missed, and that has to be resolved on a case by case basis. And they provided, so for clients wanting to check their status, they need to call the Postbank call center on 0800 53 54 55, who would then be able to tell you what your balance is, if your money has been credited to your account, and then you can safely go and draw at an ATM, or if not, they can immediately escalate it for you and make sure that your money gets reversed. Some instances, there might need to be an investigation, because the reports may show that the money was withdrawn, and then they will have to escalate to the retailer or the merchant to find out what exactly happened. If the digital switch indicates that the report that money was withdrawn. They've also provided an email address, postbankbalancing@postbank.co.za, and they've committed to a sort of a 4-hour turnaround time, that anyone who sends their ID and their card number to this will be investigated and have their accounts corrected. And again, this is just to deal with the manual exceptions that may have fallen through the cracks when they've done the reversals. But we do also note that the Postbank call center is being overwhelmed at the moment, because people are not necessarily only just calling in for those that haven't had their accounts corrected, but people are calling in for a whole range of other matters. So it's probably best to use the email. What we have also asked, and Postbank is investigating this, is to introduce a USSD balance inquiry check. So at the moment, you can only check your balance at an ATM or by calling the call center, and this is causing large numbers then to be phoning into the call center. A simple USSD on where everybody can just use their cell phone to check their balances and confirm that their money is now back in their account, and then they can safely go and withdraw that. So they are investigating that. It should come on board hopefully in the next day or two. We admit, both from SASSA's perspective especially on Postbank's perspective, that the communication has been really bad during this crisis, and not sufficient information was given out to clients in terms of guiding them on how to resolve the problems that they were experiencing. And then from SASA's perspective as well, we've also seen a huge influx into our local offices where people are requesting to change their bank account details to get their payments into another bank account. And SASA has also increased its resources, and we're increasing our resources and capacity to handle the increased workload at our local offices. But we're also looking at getting additional venues such as community walls and churches and so forth, so that we can try and direct some of this increased demand away from our offices, because ultimately it's going to cause congestion in our offices with our other operations that are running. So we are looking at how we can get alternative venues so that we can then redirect the demand and assist people as most best we can. We're also looking at increasing our office hours so that we can try and process as many clients that want to do this as speedily as possible. And then just final recommendations, then that the portfolio committee notes the update on the challenges that we experienced, and that members assist with spreading the message that those that are still having problems can escalate those by forwarding their names and their ID numbers and card numbers to the email on the screen. Thanks, Honourable Chair.
Chair, just as we close up on this item, I would just like to say three things. First one is, Brenton did highlight the fact that we have been advised by Postbank that this is now the cleanup exercise that they are undertaking in terms of the reversals, because they have been done manually. I know a lot of people thought that it affected all grants. It affected just the disability and largely the old age grants, which is now a work in progress in terms of resolving. I think the additional issues is something that we are now taking up with Post Office, insofar as there not being adequate finances in some of the posts. We saw that in a few post offices a day before yesterday, where money had run out, and they are processing how to troubleshoot those. And I think the most important thing I want to say, Chair, is the challenges that we experience around communication, especially to clients, because in most instances, we found that clients were going to collect the money, and the balance would say they don't have anything, and therefore they had to go back home, and that just caused a bit of a challenge. We have engaged with Postbank on this matter and reiterated the importance of elevating the manner in which we communicate in different languages across the Republic. And to this effect, Chair, we will be briefing the nation in terms of progress that has been recorded to date, and what are the measures put in place to avoid this from happening ever again. But let me just add that at the end, Chairperson, that we are indeed meeting on a daily basis to try and troubleshoot some of these challenges that we've been experiencing. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the presentation. Can I give over to the honourable members to ask questions? Can you also assist us with that number, toll-free number? Is it 0800-535-455? Mr. Brandon?
My apologies, Chair. I was struggling to understand.
What is the number? Yes, saying 0800-535-455.
Yes, Chair. 0800-535-455.
It's already saying that the network is congested. I wonder how much more to other people. I've just tried it right now. Okay. Let me give over to honorable members to ask questions. Thank you very much. Well, let me start by Honorable Abram, followed by Honorable Bridget, and Honorable Aris, and Honorable Mangani, Honorable... Okay, let's first continue with the first one. I'll remind everyone.
Thank you, Chairperson, and
And I think this matter with the payment glitches, it slightly overshadowed the audit presentation. And I do hope that maybe if I, because I wouldn't want to spend my time on this issue, and I'll, you know, submit the one or two questions I have on the AG audit findings in writing. But, you know, Chairperson, I just, while I'm sitting in this meeting, and I'm sure other members are the same, we are still getting reports that monies are not in the account. I just got a call from one of my MP colleagues from George to say that there's a number of people there who still haven't received their grant. And, you know, Chairperson, just to put it into perspective, I want to just read this message from somebody in Joburg South, who says they've been going up and down with their elderly mother since Tuesday, last Tuesday, to get a pension. So this morning, they were at the queue in Marshalltown in Joburg CBD for their third attempt. It's freezing around 7. Some people were there from 6 o'clock. The post office only opened their doors at 8:45, and then the lady in the post office giving directions explained to them that if the people misbehave in the queue, they'll stop serving people. And yesterday, they stopped helping clients at 11 a.m., citing that people were unruly. Now, this is seniors and disabled people. Then it's load shedding on Monday from 2 to 4. And when they finally got to an official in front of a computer, they said that the money is now being reversed and they must come back on Monday. Now, this is Monday the 18th that still has to come. And people are standing in the cold. There is no working toilets at this post office in Marshalltown. And this is the messages that are still coming through from clients to say that they haven't gotten their money and this is what they have to endure. Now, yesterday in our plenary session, you know, Minister Zulu said that they're working as one government and that there's not going to be shifting of blame between SASSA and the post office, post bank, etc. But today in this meeting, there seems to be a shift in saying that it's the post bank's responsibility and everything is working on the side of SASSA. But at the end of the day, it was DSD and SASSA who first entered into the SL agreement with post office, knowing very well the entity's challenges and shortcomings, then moving over to post bank, once again knowing that entity's shortcomings and challenges and, you know, that it's on the brink of bankruptcy. And now it's almost as if we are turning a blind eye or burying our heads in the sand, saying, but our systems are fine. It's the post bank's systems that are proving problematic. And this is the fourth or the fifth payment glitch now with the social grants. And knowing that these entities have these challenges, I do not have any confidence that it's going to be the last payment glitch. There will be more to come because of the state in which we find these entities. So at the end of the day, these are still SASSA clients and SASSA beneficiaries. And I'm happy that, you know, there's been acknowledgement that communication is terrible, because if SASSA has or the post bank has contact numbers, cell phone numbers for at least the majority of their clients, why can't they communicate with bulk SMSs? We in the year 2023, just to let people know that there is a problem, send them a bulk SMS that they get it. It shouldn't be that managers of retailers and the tillers of retailers who are not government officials have to be the one explaining or trying to find out what is going on with this grant. And you know, Chairperson, I'm happy you tried the number because I tried the number as well. It is not working, the number. And I'd also like to find out now if we start sending our, because obviously I'm now getting the name and the ID numbers of the people who are still struggling with their grant. If we start sending those details to this email address now, I'd like to know what is the turnaround time that these people will be attended to.
And I'd also like to, you know, back onto the communication issue, Chairperson. It sounded like SASSA and the Post Bank knew that they were testing and implementing a new system. And I think we always say as a committee, use us. We are the ones that are going to be on the receiving end of all these problems. At least give us the heads up that you are testing a new system and there's a potential for it to either go well or not go well. So that when our phones are blowing up at early mornings, in the early morning, we at least have some form of information about what's going on. And then just in closing, Chairperson, I think it's about time that this committee actually invites, you know, the Banking Association of South Africa to come present directly to us to tell us, you know, what other or further role they can play in the administration of grants, because it's a lot, the grants that's handled, you know, by the financial institutions are a lot more reliable than the Post Bank. So thank you, Chairperson. It's just extremely frustrating, as I'm sure all the other members can attest to as well.
Okay, Bridget. Honorable Bridget, followed by Honorable Marie.
Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Letitia, follow the Honorable Bridget.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for the presentation. I'm just going to ask a couple of questions from the presentation itself, and then just say a few words also of about the non-payment of grants. Chairperson, it was previously reported, I believe, that there was an irregular expenditure of 12 million rand relating to the communication and marketing contract. I would like to know if it's in this presentation that the CFO has done and what the status of it is, because I wasn't able to pick it up in the presentation. And also, I hope to be mentioning the 74 million rand for the last time today with the response that one would is looking forward to as to, was there an investigation done to determine who caused the payment of 74 million rand? And Chairperson, going into the support thing and really wanting, before I ask this question, wanting to thank and commend the various people that one has had to contact and break all protocols, but one was at least able to get information and was able to give to the few people, because in the larger scheme of things, this problem has been massive, but those people that were using every single platform they can contact you at, one person phoning you, sending you a WhatsApp message, sending you an SMS and emailing you. So you think that you are actually helping many people when it's one person times by a whole lot of other people using all platforms to contact you, telling you that they haven't got their money and that the notice that we shared when we were given ended up people saying the toll-free number is not working, the email address that Mr. Van Vrede has just shared now is going unresponded to, and so on and so forth. But I was able to get in touch with the CEO of SASSA, who was very helpful in giving whatever information that she had for one to get in touch with a Post Bank, which is in terms, if one speaks of portfolio committees, is a totally different portfolio committee, but they did not say anything. You know, they just helped. They just got in and helped. I now know that there is Miss Dr. Diago. I now know that there is Ms. Pengecha, and I now know that there's all sorts of people that just responded by helping. And I am very, very grateful for that on behalf of the people that were so overwhelmingly and desperately frustrated and stranded, because it's been a week. I was trying to imagine if I didn't get paid for a week, what would be happening to me. So I was putting myself, and I think everybody was putting themselves in the shoes of these beneficiaries who have debit orders, who have funeral debit orders, who have whatever it is, chronic medication purchases to do, who couldn't do that because they were not paid. So I would like to really thank the CEO, Mr. Franciede, and his team, the spokesperson of Postbank, for all this work that they've been doing and continue to do. Because still to this minute, I was referring a query to Postbank to be handled and processed. So we had to break this protocol that we shouldn't be speaking to Postbank, we shouldn't be speaking to all these people, but they didn't ask any questions, they just help. And I'm grateful for that. I really want to put that on the beneficiaries of SASSA applied to SASSA, because that is the agency that is supposed to pay the money, the grant. And the only request that I believe I made to the CEO as well, and I'm repeating now, is that please can the communication, because you send a notice from Postbank and people say, who's not Postbank now? What is this legit? And you end up answering those questions instead of people using the information that is being used. There is a SASSA logo as well, so that people can put some credence on the communication they are receiving, because they applied to SASSA.
Not recording to stopped.
So that is a chairperson that I would like to say, and also to say that when the SLA, there was a slide here about the SLA between now SASSA and Postbank, I believe. Is that going to bring
recording in progress?
Ongoing, literally rolling a problem of the non-payment or of the delays or of the change of things and so on and so forth, because we have to get to a stage where we can say this problem has been solved, if no one else, for the benefit of these people, of the beneficiaries that are dependent, most of them, on this one income stream. Thank you, Chairperson.
Honorable Aris.
Yeah, thank you very much, Chair. Chair, yes, I don't even want to speak about SASSA. I think I'm covered with what my previous colleagues are saying, because the situation of the people not receiving their grants, it's a mess. It is really saddening, because our people must know there's nothing. There's some of the people that have only received 63 rand of their pension grant, which is a disaster. I want to speak on, they have mentioned that the slow progress on disciplinary corrective measures on their slides, they must provide us with a progress report on all outstanding cases. And then we just want to check this 5 big cases of fruitless and wasteful expenditure. We want to check if all this are in the courts. They must give us a breakdown where it is, that the public protected, where these cases are, because it's a lot of money. And then in terms of grant distribution, how will they improve on this critical function? And they must provide us with a breakdown of all the cases that is under investigation. And I want to check on the slow progress on this irregular expenditure, specifically in Gauteng and KZN. And then this burn files, how many of these files must still be recreated as they were saying, these files did burn. I note that in KZN there's a delay to train, and I want to check with, what is the progress. They must provide us with a progress report on this newly appointed trace company, and how many of these cases have they tracked, because Chairperson, we need to get, we have a service provider now that will do this work for them, and we need constant update on what the progress of this work that this company are doing for us. And then on slide 11, if all this ICT issues being resolved, why do we still have the system glitches? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Aris, Honorable Manganya, followed by Honorable Paulnette.
I mean, out of this qualified opinion which has been received with regard to the beneficiary records, and then also because we also had a portfolio committee oversight, I think it was just after the 2021 uprising, which was in KZN, and then we also went there as a portfolio committee to see for ourselves and all of that. And then subsequent to that, we then had a portfolio committee where the department came to us, and then they actually presented like a program of action of how they are going to deal with the situation in KZN about the banned files and all of those things. And one of the issues that they presented to us at that time, when they were presenting their annual report to us, is that they were busy in the process at that time. They indicated there was that process of resolving the process to digitize the file. There was a program of trying to digitize all the files and all of that, so that they try to mitigate the risks. So I just wanted to find out from the department if they are able maybe just to give us an update in terms of where they are in terms of such a program, if that program is still there, how far is it, and when it will be completed. And I also want to find out, I think it's also on slide 10 of the presentation, I would like the department maybe just to share with us the timelines to conclude the review of the fees negotiation between SASSA and the Post Bank. And then also, I would like to find out what is the impact of the closure of the post office branches, and how will the over-the-counter services be rendered, and how the dignity services will actually be rendered by the post office. And then, Honorable Chairperson, just before I conclude, I think I want to conclude by saying...
Recording stopped.
Just by putting a proposal maybe to the meeting. I think we're all frustrated about what happened. I mean, in the portfolio committee WhatsApp group, when there was this crisis, when it shortly started, and then there was a process where all of us were getting the complaints from our constituencies, we were all worried. And then we then received a public statement from Post Bank. And then I took that statement, I put it in the group. Just the next day, there was also a statement from SASSA. I also put it in our WhatsApp group. And then shortly after that, I mean, we're under the impression that, no, this problem has now been resolved, because we're given an impression, no, we have now paid all this, the grant beneficiaries, everything is fine. There are only a few percentage, but also we are attending to it, it will be done and so forth. But that problem is not, in terms of my own view, that problem is not actually being resolved or addressed adequately or completely, let me put it like that, because even up to date, I'm also one of the honorable members, I can put it like that on record, that we are still getting such complaints from our constituencies. So we ask yourself, where there's such press conferences, there are such statements and all of that, and then there's still this thing that is continuing. So where are we? And then I think as members of the portfolio committee, we also need to be taken into confidence and to be told the truth as to what is the situation. But, you know, when I listen to the presentation, there's something, because I was asking myself, where are we? Is this thing being resolved? But when I look at the presentation, that's something that said to me, it looks like maybe the press conference, which the minister indicated, there will be a press conference, I think, tomorrow. A joint press conference between, I think, the social development and communication. Maybe at that press conference we'll then get an update as to where are we. But for the purpose of the meeting, because the press conference will be tomorrow. I think for our own benefit as members of the portfolio committee, maybe it will be good if we can be taken into confidence to say, no, look, this is where we are. This matter has been resolved once and for all. There's no one that can be. But I also want to close by making a proposal to the portfolio committee. You know, when we listen to the portfolio committee, I mean, the presentation that SASA presenting to us, it's almost like they're saying, this problem is not with us as SASA. I mean, they are not saying it out loud to us. But if you listen to the CEO and you listen to the CFO, both of them, what they are trying to say, including Brenton as well, they're trying to say to us, no, look, this is not our problem. We have actually met our contractual obligation for the Post Bank. In a sense that we owe Post Bank money or we are in a contractual agreement with them, and then we have honored the agreement. So this problem, when they come, when people are not paid, the grant beneficiaries are not receiving their money, all the blame comes to us as SASA. But at the end of the day, the people where they are experiencing technical glitches, they've got their own system, they've got their own process, and about more than 40% of what the grant beneficiaries are on the Post Bank. The problem is not with us, SASA, it's for them. It's for the Post Bank. So it's almost like SASA, we're blaming them now, we're taking them, we're doing oversight on them, but now they are also saying, no, look, this is what we have done. This is what we're supposed to do, and we have done it. But Post Office is giving us a problem. There are problems there, and they are attending to them. But now, the problem here, and I think Honorable Masango put it eloquently in the meeting to say, our people doesn't know Post Bank, they know SASA, because that's where they apply. And when there are problems, they will go to SASA, and then they will blame SASA. And I think the same principle also applies to us as members of the Portfolio Committee. And I want to agree with Honorable Masango clearly in the meeting to say, even if the problem was the Post Bank, but our blames and all our problems, will take them and put them at the doorstep of SASA. Because our people also on the ground, even when we do our constituency work, you know, SASA, they don't think of their grants to get their money and all. When there's a problem, SASA is the one to be blamed. So maybe in terms of what I've just alluded to now, maybe as part of what I want to propose to the meeting, I want to propose, Chairperson, maybe we must have, I'm not sure whether the program of the Portfolio Committee will allow us to do so. And then also taking into consideration the urgency of this matter of the grants and all of that, because it's a back and forth arrangement. Maybe, Chairperson, for us, we look at the program of the Portfolio Committee, maybe we have an emergency joint meeting, a social development portfolio, and the communications as well, so that we can get finally the answer as to where we are and whether the problems have been resolved and all of that. Because it looks like now, when we are interacting, we are engaging with SASA and the department, they are giving us an impression, no, this thing has been resolved and all of that. It was just technical glitches from the other side. So the other side now, the Post Bank is on the other side of communication. So I just wanted to make that firm proposal to the meeting that maybe let's have a joint meeting between ourselves and communications, and then we deal with the issue of the grant payment saga and then the technical glitches and all of those issues, so that we can also satisfy ourselves in terms of where we are and whether the problems of our people have been resolved. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Thanks.
Chairperson? Chairperson, yeah. Member Aris told me, yeah, I saw the problem.
Are you back?
Yes, I'm on the phone thing. Chairperson, I also want to give in my 5 cents about this thing of SASA. I agree with what Honorable Stock was saying now, that we need to take stock in how we're going to do these things, because no use giving out a press conference and people are still waiting for the money, because I know for a fact people are still waiting for the money because they are calling me as well. But the problem that we are having, like Mayor Chain was saying, in the rural areas we are having a problem. And I'm working in the rural areas of the Eastern Cape, where the people don't have emails. The phone number is not working that they are giving us. Where must these people get data to send these emails? And then also, Chairperson, on the slide they were saying that they got 4 companies to do the debt collections.
I want to know how much does it cost the department to have these four debt collectors, because the gentleman is saying, in the one thing he's saying, you know, some of the people you cannot get the money from because they're staying in squatter camps and all these things. And the last time at the workshop, the gentleman was also very passionate about the thing, we're not going to get our money, these people doesn't have anything and all these things. I want to know, like Honorable Aris was saying, is that we need to get a real idea of how far is this cases. What is happening to the cases? Because here they're saying five big cases amounting to 84 million, 3.5 million VIP protection. In the same case, they are saying 565 million plus 23 million of irregular expenditures. We need to outline these things and see where is this thing coming from. Is this thing going to sort itself out or what? Because, Jay, I feel if we put on this slide, we must have a sitting where we see these things, because showing it on this on the screen, you can't see the thing properly, because when you want to ask questions, time is running out. We are just rumbling off everything. We need to have a physical sitting to discuss these things, because you know we have a new new department, new heads and everything, but things are not changing. Things are the same. So Chairperson, my question is that we need to find out about the debt collectors. We need to find out on the five cases. They need to show us how fast the cases, what is happening to cases, and how are we going to address these cases. And this thing of SAFTA, yes, we are the ones getting the brunt. We are the ones being called. A gentleman had to go yesterday to the police station just to make fingerprints for the whole week since last week and Tuesday. We are almost at the end of the week. People are still not having their monies. This is unacceptable, because already they are paying late. There's no more food in the house. There's nothing to eat in the house. And then people must wait another extra week. This is unacceptable, Chairperson. We cannot do this to our poor people. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Members. I think these are the hints that were already been given a chance to talk. What I would like to raise is that Honorable Members have raised most of the things, but I'm worried that the communication with the Minister are going for a press or media briefing for this thing of the late Okanye, the non-payment of older person's grant tomorrow. I wanted to say it was gonna be better if we had this meeting or we thought about it even before they go to the media briefing, because I'm worried that what is it that they are going to say, which we are supposed to have been informed about it, so that we can be able to go to our communities and also relay the message. But yeah, this thing, you know, put us in a very, very, I will say, very difficult situation in terms of our minds were not even thinking about what is it, the strategy, because today you get that it's going to be resolved. Tomorrow you get complaints that people haven't managed to get their grant yet. So, but I don't think it's late to mend. The proposal from Stock is quite good. And maybe they must tell us which channel are they going to do this media briefing and all this stuff, and what is it that they are saying to people, so that we don't go to people or communities say the other thing that they are not saying. Because we cannot again talk about this thing of glitch. People don't know this thing. Even ourselves, we were not sure what is it, what does it mean to say we had a glitch. And the other members are saying that people don't know about Postbank and other things. They just know SASSA.
So you are unable to explain all these nitty-gritties to the communities. I am so frustrated even myself. I don't know whether I switched off not to hear what is being said, but I couldn't. In fact, I still not be able to answer it on what has happened with the old pension plan. So I would like to say to the CEO, I experienced your assistance and your information, but CEO, it is not enough for us to go to communities. I'm not strong enough now to face the communities and be able to say all what you are saying, especially now that it hasn't been resolved, this issue of the non-payment of the grant. I am not really strong. I don't know how do they feel, the other honorable members, how do they feel in this issue. But maybe let's also give you once more, CEO, the chance so as to wrap up this meeting. Because we will talk until Kau comes home, as long as these are not resolved. The call center CEO, I don't think it's going to assist people, especially the ones that are in villages. The only thing that will assist people is the word from SASSA through the counselors. There are ward counselors, there are PR counselors that can assist in this information. If they are all clear enough, they are able to assist us in convey the message down and cascade it down to the level of the words. Thank you, CEO. Over to you.
Thank you very much, Chair. I will address some of the issues and get particularly with regards to the non-payment, a branch to answer some of the issues. But Chair, our intention is not to put a post bank under the bus, because we know that at the end of the day we are accountable for the beneficiaries, because they are such beneficiaries. We just needed to clarify to the House as to who is responsible for what. And as Minister said, we are jointly working on the issues and we are accountable. Ma'am Alexandra, we did not know about the change of the system. We only found out, sadly, on Tuesday. Hence, we then started having disengagements continuously with Postbank and indicating the need and the desperate need for us to communicate. We now are working on a daily basis together to make sure that the communication and feedback is given in terms of how many, where are we with regards to the reversal. The number of reversals that we started with were 500,000 as they started on Tuesday. Yesterday, it was sitting at 17,000. This morning, the feedback we got is that it's sitting at 2,000, and those should be resolved in the next 2 hours. That's the feedback that we actually got. On the issue of the bulk SMS, I would like to sensitize the House that unfortunately, because our customers change SIM cards on a continuous basis, it becomes very difficult for us to just do bulk SMS because all the information is not updated in terms of what numbers customers are actually using currently, either with the 350 customers, but it's not so easy with our normal customers. We are looking at what we need to do to update all the information so that we can continuously be able to respond to our customers and communicate with them. But it is a challenge that we have with regards to the segment of customers that we actually have. The other issue that I thought was important for me to respond to is the issue that Member Sango raised with regards to both the 17 million and the 12 million. as we may remember, ma'am, these are cases that we've been dealing with for quite a long time. On the 74 million, we had, on both of them, we had had investigations done, and on the 74 million, were almost completed in terms of the process that we're working through together with the people that are helping us in terms of managing this process with regards to the establishment of who did anything wrong, and the process is taking place. On the 12 million, which is the communication tender that MM asked, the matter has been finalized, except the final engagement with National Treasury, where we can provide a feedback in terms of how the process has been finalized. I would like to give Mr. Matango to answer the issues with regards to the ICT issues, and particularly those related to the SRB 350 and branches will respond to all the other issues with regards to the challenges with Postbank, and the CFO will close with regards to the issue of the data files and where we are with all the other cases. Thank you, Chair. Branches, maybe you should start first.
Thanks, CEO and Chairperson. See, I think you handled most of the questions around the Postbank payment issues. I think we think the reference to maybe having a meeting with the banking sector is would also be useful. I think Honourable Abrams mentioned that, noting that FASA and the Reserve Bank also regulate the Postbank, and since a large portion of our clients do get paid not only through the Postbank but through 20 other banks as well, it would maybe be of good to have some level of assurance from the banking industry that social grant payments are secure within the regulatory environment.
We do
acknowledge that the Postbank line Postbank doesn't necessarily have a very large call center, and when they do have a crisis like this, they do, the line does, it doesn't go there. It's just that once all the agents are on the line, and the capacity of the line is breached, then more calls can't go through until the capacity comes down. Until the number of calls, the call volume comes down again, and then the calls will start going through again. And we have raised that with them as well. As I mentioned, they are looking at, because a large portion of the calls that are coming through now is people simply checking their balances. So they are looking at an alternative way to get people to check their balances so they don't congest the line too much. On the email address, and I'm hesitant to say this, they've given us a 4-hour turnaround time, but our own testing of that has also resulted. We've also seen that they're not necessarily turning it around in 4 hours at the moment, and we are pressing them for a more firmer commitment on a turnaround time on the email address. In the more rural areas, or basically, so those are the two for people, for clients to directly contact the Postbank. And obviously people can also assist them. So as you mentioned, Honorable Chair, that when you do have names, you can also forward those ID numbers and card numbers to that email address that was given. But you can also obviously forward it to any one of us, and we will, do our best to try and assist the clients as well. And then also with the various access points, such as retailers, we know retailers are also making lists for the Postbank. They work closely with the Postbank as well. So when a client pitches up, they can't draw their money at any particular merchant or retailer. They then also create lists, and they forward those regularly as well to the Postbank to try and get to escalate those particular numbers to them. And in the most rural areas, our pay points are actually operating. They started this week, and they are actually going a lot better than what we've normally experienced. So in the most rural areas, people are actually getting their payments. South of branches still remain a challenge. very urban, very urban areas. But Chief Honourable Chair, we do note that I think the communication to various community leaders, especially the political leaders, the ward councillors, etc., needs to go out as well so that they can support and assist. And we're at that stage now that we it's trying to resolve the those that have falling through the cracks would be the wrong word, but those that have not necessarily been reached yet, where the grant is still not unpaid, escalating those matters so that those can then be looked into. And so that is not so much downward communication, but it's more sort of a bottom-up communication that we need to try and put in place to make sure that those that still need help can get through to the people that can help them and obviously find recourse for them. In terms, I think that covers it, CEO. Maybe I can hand over then to the CIO.
Okay.
Thank you very much, and good afternoon, Honorable Chairperson and members of the committee, the CEOs, and my colleagues. I will just respond to a few comments and questions that were raised. Most of them, I think, were with regard to the controls on the SRD system. I must say that in the last 3 years that this system was developed, it has fairly stabilized. And the Auditor General has audited the system, and also the internal audit recently audited it and gave
well, it. We landed on the same whatever.
Shall I continue, Chairperson?
Chair, may he unmute
himself, please? He's muted.
Chairperson, I was saying that in the last 3 years or so that we've been using the system to pay the SRD 350 COVID-19 grant. The system has been stabilized, and the Auditor General has audited the system, and also the internal audit has actually audited the system, and they have actually given it a clean status. However, what we are battling with, Chairperson, is what we call identity theft at the payment platforms at the retailers, and when you access our system, people use each other's cell phone. And when they are able to log in, and then they change details. And when they change those details, they get an OTP to a cell phone number of their friend that they, were with or are with at the time. And there's very little control we have because we cannot validate them in real time because they would have stolen their identity. They know the ID number, they know the cell phone number of their partner or whoever. So that is what we've also been discussing with the retailers to say we need to team up together also with the telco companies because some of the SIM cards are multiple used elsewhere and we can't validate them. No, can we have actually telco companies assist us validate those? So that is really where the issue with the SRD 350 is concerned. But from the controls point of view, the system is fairly robust and stable. One other issue that was raised was the issue of our environment in terms of general controls. Yes, there were quite a number of peripheral issues, what we call housekeeping issues in the IT system environment. Those were resolved. There is only two that the CFO has alluded to. Those have got to do with the hypertext protocols where the internal facing URL on the web was not having the secure protocol that we have seen resolved. We are just finalizing the configuration thereof, but it did not expose us to external attack in any way or form, because before a person can get into our Oracle using the HTTP URL, they authenticate by the Active Directory anyway, and they provide their details there. So that was a very much a mitigated, but we are going to make sure that we finalize the implementation of the HTTPS just to make sure that we take the recommendation of the Auditor General as they recommended. And with regard to the issue of data, I think the CFO has covered that. The data exchange is a real problem, particularly when you deal with dynamic data, but it is taken at a particular time when the file is cut off for preparation of payment. That becomes a problematic. Other than that, Jefferson, we have resolved all the issues. The two that are remaining will be resolved within this month, to the extent that the ongoing housekeeping and vulnerability testing and assessment and of the intrusion and detection thereof, that is happening as an ongoing thing, and the SSA sometimes assists us in doing so, but we are also, as the CFO has indicated, subscribed to authorities that are able to give us cyber insights and cyber intelligence information. But over and above that, we also do work with CSIR from time to time to assist this. On the security front of our systems, I cannot elaborate too far, but we have put in all the housekeeping rules in place to make sure that we are not prejudiced. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much for the explanation. Excuse me.
Okay, thank you very much, Chair. I'm just going to deal with the questions that Honorable Iris has raised with us. I can confirm that, yes, we do have the listing of the remaining cases of the 37. We can provide the listing of the cases that we are still busy with relating to the irregular expenditure. But we do also have set aside time and project support, and we make it a mandatory monthly report to the executive committee, and also become a standing item on the SASA audit committee. So the issues of implementation of the corrective disciplinary process has been elevated within the organization, and it has been followed very strictly by my office and the office of this, the CEO, and with an oversight done by the executives within SASA and the audit committee members. So that it is done. There was a question relating to the five big cases, whether they are with the court or not, on the fruitless and wasteful expenditure. When we closed the year, with 86 million of fruitless and wasteful expenditure. One of the big cases is what Honorable Masango has already cited, which is the 74 million. Currently, that matter is before the court. On the parallel process, that matter is being dealt with through the liquidation process, because the company or the service provider that is concerned is going through a liquidation. So that process between the court and also the liquidator. Another case relating to the fruitless and wasteful expenditure, it is the 3.5 million for the VIP protection, which is still currently before the court. There is also a case relating to 1.4 million relating to Mekonzo, which was cancelled in the Western Cape. That matter has been referred to the state attorney for further handling. There is also a case relating to a 4 million, which is a difference between the company that was appointed versus the company who was deemed to be the high scoring bidder, which is the 4 million rand. That matter is before the court also. The only matter that is not before the court is 1.7 million that relates to a payment that was made in the Free State during the move of the Free State regional office. That matter is before the Loss Control Committee, and out of that process, we'll be able to finalize that matter. The rest of the other matters are very insignificant in terms of the value compared to the 86 million.
but we should be able to control it on them. There was a question relating to the data files. What I can confirm, we still have to reconstruct just around 12,000 records of the data that we still have to reconstruct. So still a bit of more work that needs to be dealt with, but with the coming of the debt collectors, we may be able to augment the capacity that we have, that will also be able to refine some of the strategies that we're using just to reconstruct. What we'll do is a simple process that we're going to do, is to, because we have the data balances on the system, on the basic accounting system. So the amount that is owed is known. The documents that we may not have, it's where the person says, yes, I hope that I agree that I owe you so much money. So that document, it does not exist, but the amount owed is what we're following. And the process that we are undertaking, we categorize in terms of priority. The first priority are the people that are currently still in the employment of government. So those debtors take the first priority. The second priority will be the debtors that have been paid and they continue to pay. So those debtors that you can follow. The third ones will be the materiality of the amount so that you do not suffer the old issue of the prescription. And the last category will be the amount that may be very significant in value. So that process will be undertaken, and when we come back at the end of the 2023-24, we should be able to give the committee the assurance and the status in terms of the project. I think those are the issues that I needed to clear before I close, Honorable Chairman. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Thank you very much, sir. But let me check with the honorable members in terms of the ends, which I think we are done with them.
Chairperson,
okay, Masango. Honorable Masango.
Thank you so much, Chair. Chair, I seem to remember times gone by when SASSA would present to us, and the CFO would have some kind of a matrix, if you like, with an amount and the process followed in reasonable detail, and the status. And I believe that he has just done that now, but he's just done it orally, not in writing. And that gives one a sense of you think there's other things that you haven't heard. I don't know if that's possible, just even offline of this meeting, if that could be provided, please. Because one is interested, in especially the old cases. And to include the 12 million rand explanation that was done by the CEO. But my question that I left out, I just forgot about it, is that one is getting a sense that panic is setting in among beneficiaries who are carrying the SASSA card, the cards that are expiring or have expired, and they are aware of the extension of the validity of the cards to December. And they are saying we are less than, you know, 3 months to December now, and how where are the cards? And they are also unconfirmed, at least to my knowledge, rumors that suppose Postbank do not have cards, physical cards, to give to people when they go and renew. I would like to know how that panic can be managed in terms of communicating to people and maybe even letting us know what the status is as far as the SASSA cards that are due expire in December, so that we avoid a situation where there is an influx of efforts to try and salvage the situation. If we can just have a word or two on that. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Masango.
Any answer from Honorable Masop? Brandon? Okay. See you.
I'd like to make a proposal, Chair, with your guidance, that perhaps we could add that item onto the discussion with the trade meeting, but that's with your guidance, Honorable Chair. If you wish that we provide just a summary, high-level sort of update. Now, we met with the departments and agencies just a day and a half ago on this matter. We can do that, but I would suggest that for a more concise briefing on this matter, we should perhaps add it to the agenda of the meeting that the Honorable Stock proposed. But that's with your guidance, Chair. Thank you.
Okay. You are deferring this matter now to another meeting, which we are not sure whether it's possible for it or not, because we still have to look at the program, whether it allows us to do that or not. But what is best when you don't have an answer now? You can also do the written answer to Lindiwe, so that we can be able to get it. All right. Any other hand? I think we are done for now. And then we will look at the program and see how are we going to go about with this. But seemingly we are not done yet. We are halfway to finish it, because we have to. Please make sure that the toll-free number is working for those that will be able to consult, contact you. Make sure the email is also working, because we still have a situation for those that will be unable to do all what you have raised in terms of email and the data to call the toll-free number. Thank you ever so much. Let's see. It's quarter to now. I know the buses have arrived. People have to go to the house. I wish to thank everyone in the meeting, those that are present, those that couldn't make it. We also thank them. Till we meet again. Thank you, meeting adjourned.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, colleagues. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I will close the meeting for everyone. Thank you so much.
Recording stopped.